Merkel, the former long-term Chancellor of Germany, she was in an interview and she let it slip that she thinks they'll still be fighting, Ukraine and Russia will still be fighting that war in 10 years' time. They want it to keep it going. The military-industrial complex are cashing in. And, they're having an opportunity to test all battlefield weapons real time, and they're loving it. But, I mean, it is actually NATO that's fighting Russia. It's not Ukraine. When we have been firing, UK have been firing Storm Shadow missiles for 2.5 years with UK technicians out of our missiles, out of Ukraine, into Russia. And the French have been doing the same with the Scalps, and you Americans, you've been doing the same with your Attackums.
We gave them, I believe, $350 billion, but let's say it's something less than that, but it's a lot. And we have to equalize with Europe, because Europe has given a very much smaller percentage than that. I think Europe has given $100 billion, and we've given, let's say, $300 plus. And it's more important for them than it is for us. We have an ocean in between, and they don't.
Or Europe manufacture missiles, American missiles.
They would like to be able to do that. We'll take a look at it. They have asked about it.
I mean, how can you say we're not at war with Russia when, if Russia occupied or had a deal with Scotland and they were put their missiles into Scotland and were firing them at London, I think we'd say we're at war with Russia. We're in exactly that situation. Russia do not want to have a war with Europe or NATO. They've only got 144 million people. The combined population of NATO countries is 975 million. Russia's already the largest country in the world. They've got between $70 and $90 trillion of identified natural resources. That's the reason that the BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street want NATO to engage in a war with Russia.
And let me just stop you and back you up. They said our new business model is a wartime economy. It'll last 20 or 30 years. We will win the conventional war. We don't think Russia will ever go nuclear. And then we will break Russia up in five parts. That is Napoleonic. It's Hitlerian. And now they're back again saying it. And so, and I agree with you, we've got 900 million people. And then,
and Alex, we've done all this before. In 1991, when we told the Russians or the Soviet Union, let us have East Germany and let us reunify Germany. We'll never move EU and NATO an inch east of there. We've moved 1,000 miles since. What did we end up with in East Germany? We ended up with a lot of old Soviet weapons, enormous. They were sent to Yugoslavia in 1991. That's what created the war in Yugoslavia. Yugoslavia was a competitor organization to the European Union and NATO. We destroyed those countries. And then we picked apart and took what we wanted. We balkanized them in the Balkans.
Germany had free LNG and gas and energy with Angela Merkel and Putin. They were like this. I hope you don't edit this out. They were best friends until 2014. And there was a CIA coup d'etat in Kiev with Victoria Nuland. Look it up. And then it was Biden and Burisma and profit and money laundering.
So we took Croatia and Slovenia into NATO and the EU pretty quickly. We've had Montenegro since, and we blame the Serbs for it. The EU and NATO, we created that war in the Balkans. And if you remember, we bombed Belgrade for many, many months. There's no way they could fight back against us. We're not wearing the white hats in this, Alex, and I'm ashamed of what part we've played in wars in Europe.
They thought they could silence us. They thought they could drive us off the air. They failed. We are back, stronger, louder, unbroken. Find the feeds, hear the broadcast, share the signal at alexjoneslive.com.
All right, it's Friday. We're live. Back in 60 seconds. Stay with us.
alexjoneslive.com.
The InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. Articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. And don't forget to download the app. Go to alexjonesapp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones.
Bad luck wind been blowing on my back. I was born to bring trouble wherever I'm at. Got a number 13 tattooed on my neck. That ink starts to itch, black gold turns to red. I was born in the soul of misery.
Fan-made intros we've been sent. Wild stuff. It is Friday, June 19th, 2026. I am your host, Alex Jones. Have three big guests coming up today. I'll tell you about coming up in a little bit. Iran says Israel's broken the deal by blasting the living hell out of more Christians, ancient 2,000-year-old communities in Lebanon. Israel says they're taking southern Lebanon. Ben-Gavir, the national security head, says that. Netanyahu says it. We're literally being held hostage. This is beyond treason. And now they're blaming J.D. Vance for the peace still falling apart when it's Israel that drug us into this war. Absolutely insane. Iran declared the Strait of Hormuz closed again after U.S. lifts blockade because Israel struck Lebanon with giant carpet bombing strikes, and we have drone and satellite footage of southern Lebanon that just shows before and after in the last year. And Israel directly knows this can keep Iran in the war, and so they're deliberately continuing it. And to be as provocative as possible, they are saying they are going to continue on. So we'll get to that coming up here in just a few minutes and show you the carpet bombing before and after images and more today. The stuff coming out of Europe and the UK and Australia is so insane that I can't even believe it. And I feel like I'm a bad person if I don't show you everything I've seen. But at the same time, there are so many hundreds of new clips a day, new clips of children being stabbed and murdered by Muslims, of women being raped, murdered, of babies being raped and murdered, not just by the Muslims, but by the LGBT Satan cults, the government protecting them, letting invaders out of jail after they rape small children with no jail time, leftists caught burning crosses and blaming it on Trump supporters, all sorts of false flags. And then you know it's an Islamic or some type of invader because it's now been out over a day and a half. And they say, well, we're not going to tell you because it'll shock the public. And this person's not fit for interview. So you never learn until a few years later who did it. And then you know, that's over a year old. The fellow getting stabbed five times by the Sikh and the police not giving him aid. You know, that was over a year ago, but the Sikh just got convicted. So then you learn about it. Then you learn they've redacted most of the footage where they made fun of the guy dying and his family stood around him and made fun of him and said, nobody's going to believe you. And the 10 minutes before the police got there and they sat there till he bled to death. Once the police got there, they just let him die. That happened over a year ago. Well, there's all these new cases that have come to conclusion where they take a Christian family's 8-month-old baby, 9-month-old baby, and then 4 months later, it is raped to death with its organs smashed out, its guts hanging out. I'm sorry to be gross here. Its body just beaten to death by being raped by pedophiles. And even though the social workers knew it was happening, they did nothing. It's just ongoing. And I have case after case after case. Just to study each one is horrifying. That's the nature of this. That's how evil operates. We have that, and then stuff like this. Man arrested after toddler ended up in crocodile enclosure, not fit for interview and release. But the local newscast in England, in Cambridgeshire, report that a man grabbed the 3-year-old and purposely threw him over the fence into the crocodile pool. And now they're saying they won't tell you who the guy is because it'll anger the public. So that tells you what's going on. So now they're literally feeding children. He's fighting for his life. The invaders, and I'd say about 99% chance that's why you're not being told. If it was a white guy, it'd be all over the news right now. About a 99% chance it's an invader. They're now feeding children to crocodiles. Now, didn't have that on my bingo card. Now, every few days you see in Europe or the United States or anywhere else in the West that they have subways that white people, men, women, and children are thrown over the tracks to be run over. So you think feeding people to the trains, to the subway trains, is bad enough. Now they're fed directly to the crocodiles. And so I was going through all the stuff I sent the crew, and it's literally hundreds of new videos of stuff like this. And there's been other cases before of invaders in Western countries throwing children into tiger and lion cages. So they've got to really brought this to an art form. And I guess they're being politically correct. They're not even going to kill the crocodile. But you know, it's not like it's even the crocodile's fault. You throw a dead chicken in there. That's what they normally feed them. Or you throw some beef in there. You throw a live human in to a bunch of saltwater crocodiles. They're the largest and most deadly reptile on the planet Earth today. What do you expect is going to happen? So I gotta tell you, man, these invaders they're bringing in are beyond third world. They're like fifth world or something. It's just not even comprehensible that this goes on, but it does. And then there's other stuff that I don't even know what to say. Because it doesn't even make me mad at this point. It is the injustice. It is the bizarreness. It is the compendium of what's been done to myself and the crew and my family and InfoWars. The way the CIA and FBI created the fake lawsuits, all the things they did. 2 years ago, they got caught in federal court doing a fake auction that was criminal. And they lied to the court, so they'd had an auction and basically given it to Bloomberg's gun control group. That's who owns The Onion, is the Everytown group, with the former head censor at MSNBC. The counterpart at CNN would be Brian Stelter. They've now announced all over the news, The Onion says it won't wait for the courts. Will launch InfoWars to pay Sandy Hook families. It means they've raised $300 million off my name. It's just PR firms of the 20 families. It's four families, and they're the ones that run the big charities and raise all the money. It's always the families. Oh, well, we don't need a court. We're just going to say we're InfoWars and operate as that. It's totally illegal, but they just don't care. That's just an example of how bizarre these people are and how they believe they're above the law. They just say, oh, we're going to defy the Third Court of Appeals. We're going to defy the federal court blocking us from doing this. We're doing it for the children. it's wild how they can do basically whatever they want. Then, of course, it came out 2 days ago, the giant mass rape, human trafficking, child trafficking inquiry. And it's the numbers at 500,000 plus now over 20 years, mainly girls, all white. And they have the Muslims testifying that, well, under Islam, we don't rape non-Muslims, but we're allowed to rape anybody that isn't a Muslim, sell them drugs, put them in sex slavery, you name it. And you have the UK government threatening to jail anybody that repeats anything that's in the inquiry. And that ties into feeding children to crocodiles now in the UK and just all the rest of it. And it ties into Jimmy Savile, who raped and tortured and killed in many cases. Some of the 450 children he's documented have done that in satanic rituals. He's the top confidant of King Charles. And now in the UK, I have new examples of young women, girls being raped, and the police admit they were raped, but because they screamed too loud, they disturbed the peace, they are then arrested. I wonder if they'll arrest the three-year-old who screamed while the crocodile ripped off his hands and reportedly part of his leg and tried to swallow him. Screaming when the crocodile eats you is an offense. So you cannot make this up. They are all just testing and seeing what they can get away with. And Jimmy Savile's specialty was all over England. He would go and visit terminally ill children, and magically, while he was there in the middle of the night, they would die. And then he would take their bodies to a satanic temple he had and rape them. A lot of times they'd say they were already dead, but they would take them in an ambulance and torture them, drink their blood. This is, by the way, mainstream news. This is confirmed. And then bring the dead body back, sucked dry. And British lords, everyone would join in on the feasting. And then you read all the stuff in the Epstein files, the stuff they released. They held back 3 million plus files, released 3 million. It's all in there about eating the children, torturing the children, the sex slaves, and more. So just remember, it's even worse than you and I can imagine. Meanwhile, the entire world is turning against Trump right now. It's a total setup. And whereas Trump deserves criticism for being led by the nose into this war, the main perpetrators and the main lobbying group that is running it is Israel. But you notice when you look at the headlines all over the corporate media, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Drudge Report, it's all about Trump and how this destroyed his administration and destroyed his legacy. Then I have all these clips of Ben Gavir and the usual suspects, Netanyahu saying, we're not going to ever let you have peace because we're going to keep bombing our neighbors, and that's just the way it is, and we'll hit Iran whenever we want, so there will be no peace deal. So that's all basically locked down and nailed down. That's coming up. And then, of course, we knew this back in 2020 when it all first broke, 6+ years ago. And we knew that Obama had a national initiative at Chapel Hill, North Carolina, in conjunction with over a dozen other universities, like the University of Texas at Galveston, and that they had a job to weaponize SARS and weaponize the cold bug. And they even bragged before they released COVID, don't worry, they'll send me a respiratory virus out of China that'll bring in our new global UN treaty and medical tyranny and medical ID. And so we knew from Francis Boyle and many other insiders what was going on. And then it came out in the emails and text messages that Fauci had a gain-of-function program with COVID-19 and a bunch of other viruses. And James O'Keefe, before he got kicked out of Veritas, got the head of Pfizer's mRNA program when he thought he was going on a gay date to say, yeah, we've already made the viruses. We've made new variants of COVID-19. We'll then release those from time to time as part of our business model. Remember that? People couldn't even believe it was real. Turned out it was real. That was the vice president. But the guy that was bad was James O'Keefe, not the guy bragging about it. Well, now Tulsi Gabbard has released the actual documents, other secret documents, that she got from the other 16 intelligence agencies in her final act today, leaving office. And she was kicked out by Trump. That's been confirmed. They just used the story of her husband having cancer, which he does have, as a way to try to go gracefully. But because she was right about the Iran war being a setup and would be a failure, and because she was right about Fauci and all the rest of it, she is bye-bye The word is RFK Jr. will be gone after July 4th. I hope that's not the case, but it's coming from very credible sources. So we'll continue to track that. But bombshell, Gabbard releases never-before-seen docs exposing Fauci for lying to Congress, providing millions in U.S. taxpayer dollars to fund dangerous gain-of-function research, particularly with COVID-19 itself. I know for this audience, you've seen the documents, that's old news. We got it from whistleblowers like Dr. Huff, who was the vice president of the EcoHealth Alliance, and you know, many others. But now we have U.S. government documents. And we know that Fauci went to the CIA right when the COVID hysteria began and led a task force with John Hopkins, same folks that created Operation Lockstep 10 years before, in 2010, planning the lockdowns, planning the hysteria, planning the fear, planning it all. So DNI Gabbard reveals evidence of U.S. taxpayer-funded global biolab program. A few days before that, she exposed the bioweapon labs that they took over from the Russians in Ukraine that Obama then funded to create bioweapons. So, yes, it validates and vindicates everything we've been saying. And she's a very valiant person and an example of the type of leadership we need in government. She left her own party saying they were pure evil, which they are. She believed the promises of Trump being anti-war because he'd done that in his first admin. And to a great extent, Trump has been better than Democrats, but his change in course has been so dramatic that it's forced a lot of people like her to basically, you know, begin to speak out. So very, very commendable. And with more people like her, we have a good chance of saving civilization. Here is her 5-minute breakdown on this new information that she's also published on the official government Office of National Intelligence website. Here it is.
Before the COVID pandemic, Dr. Fauci, as head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, provided millions in U.S. taxpayer dollars to fund dangerous gain-of-function research on bat coronaviruses at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, work which is now widely viewed as the source of the unintentional lab leak that sparked the pandemic. Now, in support of President Trump's maximum transparency mandate, today, on my final day as Director of National Intelligence, I'm releasing never-before-seen communications and documents that expose exactly how Fauci worked with politicized career leadership in the intelligence community to suppress the truth about his actions, the virus's lab leak origins, and his role in directing U.S. funding for this dangerous research that caused immeasurable harm and countless lost lives. Now, these documents expose Fauci's direct role in influencing and manipulating IC assessments on COVID-19 and how Fauci lied to Congress in 2024 when under oath he denied knowledge of or participation in discussions with intelligence officials about viral research. We also received testimony from multiple intelligence community whistleblowers who reported retaliation for challenging the intelligence community's manipulation of intelligence on the virus's origins, once again revealing a clear pattern of suppressing dissent, silencing critics, and burying the truth. Dr. Fauci's close relationships with the intelligence community enabled him to assume three key roles that shield him from scrutiny. First, Dr. Fauci funded dangerous gain-of-function coronavirus research linked to Big Pharma and their pursuit of universal vaccines worth trillions of dollars. Second, Dr. Fauci was the behind-the-scenes advisor who, alongside his hand-picked so-called experts, pushed the intelligence community to endorse a natural animal origin to hide his dangerous gain-of-function research that he funded using taxpayer dollars, all of this in a deliberate attempt to cover up the truth and shift the blame and attention away from Fauci's own actions. Third, Dr. Fauci became the nation's pandemic pundit, and he publicly pushed lies, disinformation, and censorship using every platform available. Now, according to hundreds of reviewed emails, which are included in this release, the intelligence community almost always incorporated Fauci's recommendations. He promoted a fraudulent paper whose publication he helped prompt as legitimate information for intelligence community consideration. Senior analysts praised Dr. Fauci not as a policymaker, but as what they called an unbiased guide to the real coronavirus experts, while deliberately ignoring experts who might dissent from Fauci's narratives. Now, Fauci didn't stop there. He blatantly lied to Congress under oath during his 2024 testimony to the House Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic, denying that he ever spoke to any intelligence agency about COVID. Now, the correspondence I'm releasing today directly contradicts his sworn testimony. Now, we received statements from multiple whistleblowers revealing that the intelligence analysts who dared to challenge Dr. Fauci's COVID origin conclusions faced threats of retaliation, marginalization, and many suffered career setbacks. For example, a contractor was terminated just days after coming forward to ODNI as a whistleblower. Another example, those who advocated for the lab leak hypothesis or expressed dissenting views were reminded by their managers that leadership would determine which analysts would be promoted and which would not. The message was clear: go along or be punished. Now, senior leaders also sought to undermine whistleblowers by removing anonymity, which is required in the whistleblower process, as they made their complaints, and also insisting that their managers or attorneys be present during ODNI meetings where these whistleblowers were coming forward with their testimony, obviously creating an atmosphere of intimidation. The COVID pandemic caused tremendous hardship and pain for millions of our fellow Americans and countless people around the world. Now, after years of lies and censorship and cover-ups, the American people deserve transparency, truth, and accountability. The tactics that were used to hide the truth are straight from the deep state playbook. Politicized self-serving leaders like Dr. Fauci covered up their own wrongdoing and abuses of power, manipulated intelligence, lied to Congress, and undermined a duly elected president by restricting his access to the vital facts he needed to keep the country safe. It's time you know the truth.
So she did her job on Crossfire Hurricane, on Arctic Frost, on all the illegal spying on American people with FISA, including myself and President Trump. She exposed it all. And now she's been run out of the administration. And if you think Todd Blanche is going to indict Fauci or any other criminals that created COVID-19 under Obama's orders, I got a bridge in Brooklyn I'm ready to sell you right now. And some oceanfront property in Arizona, and from my front porch you can see the sea. All right, we're going to come back, and I'm going to get into the Iran situation. I'm not going to spend a lot of time, though. It's a huge story, but it's just more of the same. But I'll just get into the latest developments. The deal's broken. Israel blew the living hell out of Lebanon again. It's over 40,000 homes destroyed, hundreds of churches, all sorts of ancient crusade castles built by Christians. They're just blowing the snot out of it all and saying, we're taking it. And Israel has said, we're not leaving southern Lebanon, we're taking it, which is a no deal for Iran because that's part of the greater Israel project. And it's just to see Israel engage in this open, villainous activity it's part of the larger plan they've got to create a clash of civilizations. We'll get into that. And then they're now feeding children to crocodiles.
Tell your friends. And you can get Alex to the Alex Jones app as well, alexjonesapp.com. You know, especially you young people, the Zoomers listening to me, go help your grandparents. I literally, when I was in Colorado, was like installing the app on my grandmother's phone, doing the shortcut to the Rumble channel so she could always find the live stream. Technology's moving. We're moving with it, and we got to make sure to pull everybody along with us. And, of course, you can support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. We have incredible products there. I'm kind of a sucker for all of the products that we have at thealexjonesstore.com because they're all awesome. And it's not a thing I'm getting paid to do, right? Like I could always carry around my old wallet, but I got the new wallet because it's so awesome and I've been so happy with it the entire time. Now we have these premium nylon tactical belts available at thealexjonesstore.com. They're only $39.99 and they are of equivalent design, quality, standards, aesthetics, just amazing stuff. You will never be disappointed with the quality of items at thealexjonesstore.com. Whether it's the supplements or the gear like this, it's always top-notch, just like we try to keep our coverage always top-notch. Might be an ironic thing to say for a belt that has no notches. It is a heavy-duty nylon webbing with smooth automatic ratchet buckle, so there's no holes, no notches, no guessing, no too tight or too loose. You just adjust it to exactly where you want it, and it stays there. You get a perfect micro-adjustable fit, whether you're out working, carrying, driving, sitting at your desk, or on the move. We've got three unique designs, the Cross Edition, the 1776 Edition, and the Alex Jones Signature Edition. You can get each one of these for under $40, but for a limited time, you can get all three designs bundled together for only $99. If you want my advice, they make fantastic gifts, so if you want one, go ahead and get all three, and then give your least favorite two out as gifts. Heck, buy six and give three of them out as gifts. And of course, the America 250 Birthday Limited Edition 4th of July Apparel Sale is on. Folks, 4th of July is coming up quick. You're not going to want to be out there wearing like a purple shirt, right? You're going to want to be decked out head to toe in the most patriotic gear you can find. And the best place to get it, hands down, is thealexjonesstore.com. This collection right now is 30% off. So again, you're running out of time to get this before July 4th, so it's delivered and you can wear it with pride on Independence Day, coming up very, very quickly. Go now, thealexjonesstore.com. Check out the America 250 Limited Edition 4th of July Apparel Collection. It's 30% off right now. We also have gravity-fed water filter systems back in stock, because we are, at the end of the day, but humble water filter salesmen here trying to both provide, because it's always the way we've been. You've got to not just combat this stuff at the political level. You've got to protect yourself in the meantime. In other words, they put chemicals in the water. We want to be activists. We want to be protesters. We want to be running for office to get that changed, to get the stuff removed from the water. In the meantime, filter your water. It goes like that. Destroying Tyranny Since 1776, Betsy Ross snake t-shirt. Like, how many band logos can you put on a single shirt? How many logos that would get you kicked out of the U.S. military or investigated by the FBI can we put on a shirt? Because believe it or not, that is the state of freedom of this in this country, at least a few years ago. Do you remember there was a serial, like a list of symbols that had been banned by the U.S. Army for, you know, extremist ties? Embrace freedom and our symbols and our history unapologetically, proudly, and by going to thealexjonesstore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
So in closing, on Tulsi Gabbard's last day as the National Director of Intelligence, oversight of the other intelligence agencies, removed for doing her job, delivering Trump the goods, proving Obama and the Democrats and Hillary illegally spied on him and ran dirty tricks against him and the American people. She's removed, and Todd Blanche is being set up to be the head AG officially, not just the interim one. More 3D chess from Trump. Gabbard drops Fauci COVID-19 receipts on last day. He funded the research, cooked the cover story, then lied to Congress. And that's the rest of the story. And if you hold your breath waiting for anybody to be prosecuted, I think you might be holding your breath for a very, very long time, unfortunately. Now, let's look at Iran. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this, even though it's very important, because you already know the story. How many days are we into the war now? 110 days? 111? I don't know. Let's put it on screen. We've heard over, it's got to be almost 50 times now. I stopped counting in the 40s. Yeah, it's day 111. It's been 111 days plus, And as soon as Trump announced the peace deal was done last week on his birthday, Sunday, I guess the first day of this week on his 80th birthday, I saw all the white pillars, all the people that just support whatever Trump does, whether it's right or wrong. They said, see, where's your new war, Alex? Finally, you know, the war is over. See, they've been saying that over 40 times that he does this. And then Israel said, we're not going to stop. We're going to keep attacking Iran, and we're going to keep attacking Lebanon, and we're going to keep southern Lebanon, and all these non-starters. That's the first part of their deal is that. Trump had verbally agreed to that as a framework. It wasn't hard for me to predict Sunday when Israel said, we're not going to follow this, we're going to intentionally sabotage it, that they would do that. And they started bombing the hell out of Lebanon again. So it wasn't a hard prediction. It's like, hit yourself with a hammer, get a bruise. Jump off a 5,000-foot cliff, die at the bottom, unless you have a parachute. I mean, this is just idiotically simple. And it's derailing the economy. It makes the U.S. look absolutely ineffectual and pathetic. The entire global media and other governments are piling on, and now even the Italian president has come out and said Trump's completely full of crap on a whole bunch of fronts. And so Trump's numbers just sink, the lowest of any modern president, from the highest of any modern president just a year ago. This is an unmitigated disaster. Trump admin made the turn from being on fire with Doge and the border and everything and getting jobs back. They were just 99% on target. They were way overperforming. I was beside myself because I studied the issues. A lot of listeners are like, why are you brown nosing? I wasn't. I was, this is like, this is biblically good. And then we start changing course and it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And Iran said, if they keep hitting southern Lebanon, they're hitting us. We are not going to do the deal. Trump said, don't worry. They're not going to do it. Well, he said that a month ago. Remember, he goes, Israel, enough's enough. Stop it. Israel starts bombing again immediately. And I got clips of Ben-Gavir and of Netanyahu and all of them over the weekend saying, we're not stopping. We're going to continue this. It's the same thing they always say. So Trump should have never been drug into this. We should never have been drug into this. 112 days ago, Israel struck the day before we did. Secretary of State admitted we had to because, quote, Israel was going in and they needed our help. And here we are being led around by the nose by Israel. And you got Miriam Adelson coming out and saying Trump has betrayed Israel. In fact, I had that in my stack, but I can't find it. I was digging around in the break. Will you guys give me that article again? So she's the big casino magnet whose husband was such a big supporter of Trump. They gave him over $300 million in this last campaign. And look, Trump's been pro-Israel. I don't want to blow Israel up. I'm not anti-Israel. But when Israel tries to run our country and tries to openly run our foreign and domestic policy, which it's doing, and openly brags about controlling Congress, we've got a big problem. Now they want to take over our intelligence, our military. I know you already know all of that. It's just unbelievable. Yep, top Trump donor Miriam Adelson's newspaper runs scathing open letter to Prez. You have failed. What did Tucker tell him in the last phone call he had with him over 2 months ago? He said, you have failed, Mr. President. Your goal to keep us out of war has failed. You've got to turn back now. That's right when Joe Kent resigned and said, sir, I appreciate being appointed here. I support you overall, but we bit off more than we can chew. The mullahs aren't going to fall right away. They're going to close the Strait of Hormuz to trigger a wider war. It's going to cut off energy and fertilizer. Please don't do this. And he got called a traitor. Well, now Miriam Adelson says he's not doing enough. I thought it was about just getting their WMDs. No, it's about regime change. So now the New York Post reports doesn't tell you why. Iran declares the Strait of Hormuz closed again after U.S. lifts blockade. But it's because Israel is striking southern Lebanon, has already taken much of it, and says they're going to stay there. Iran floats insurance fees as it asserts control over the Strait of Hormuz. Talks between the U.S. and Iran are called off because of fighting in Lebanon, officials say. Love how AP spins it. Fighting. They're not firing missiles at Israel right now. No, Israel's attacking. Vance delays trip to Switzerland to lead new U.S. talks with Iran on its nuclear program. You see? Derailed by Israel. They said they would do it, but you read the corporate headlines, you don't even know that. You go to the Israeli newspapers or go to the Israeli sites, it's Benjamin Netanyahu and all of them on TV saying, we're to continue, we're taking southern Lebanon. So this war is about greater Israel. It's about expanding Israel. Trump to spend weekend at Camp David after signing memorandum of understanding with Iran that's already been blown out of the water. Benjamin Netanyahu is now holding the world hostage and openly admits he will not comply with any peace deal, instead moving forward with his greater Israel agenda. Netanyahu says he wants to control all of Gaza and will continue the war in Lebanon. We do not leave as long as Israel's security arrangements are not in place. It's time for Mr. Netanyahu to be arrested. That's what Shadow of Ezra said. Here's another one. Israel is forced to stand alone. Israel will stand alone. Benjamin Netanyahu. There's President Trump rebuking Israel over its war against Hezbollah. Israel's fighting Hezbollah too long and too many people are being killed. Israel can't do the job without killing everybody else. He'll do the job. Syria will do the job. Well, that was over the weekend. You see how Israel, that was Monday, has now responded. Rubio lets Vance take the fall as Iran deal questions mount. Yeah, Trump wasn't joking when he said, we'll just blame Vance. Certainly Trump won't take the blame. Though it was Vance behind the scenes said, don't go to war, Israel's setting us up. Just like Gabbard, he'll now be demonized. Trump reportedly said, political reports, everybody just needs to copy what I say. Trump vented anger with Vance over Iran messaging. So let's go to some of these clips. Here is J.D. Vance, clip 41, because he's come out in a bunch of speeches and said, Israel should not be in control of our government. Israel should not be calling the shots. Benjamin Netanyahu is not always right. He knows to distance himself from this because this will annihilate him when he runs for office. Plus, it's the right thing to do what he's doing. But some folks like Fuentes said, oh, he's just positioning himself. He's not said enough. And Fuentes kind of focused narrowly on some of Vance's statements. Maybe he hasn't seen these other clips. But Vance is like, listen, Israel, you can't just kill everybody. That's not the answer to everything. You can't just, again, blow up whole cities to say you're getting a few bad guys. You can't do this. So hats off to Vance. He's the most prominent person with any huevos inside the administration to say no to all this. And a lot of people boil this down to really black and white. Oh, well, the mullahs are bad. I mean, I don't agree with their Shiite ideology and things they do, but the mullahs aren't running our politics over here like Israel. They're not trying to teach, you know, our little boys to want to cut their penises off. If you actually look at most of the terror, it's been funded by the CIA, British intelligence, and Israel, creating Hamas, funding ISIS, Al-Qaeda, protecting them. I mean, that's the reality. We're told, hey, let Israel do whatever it wants. It's fighting the Muslims. Meanwhile, it's got a bunch of the most radical Muslims on the payroll that they use as a pretext to then be able to take over the countries. Then the radical Muslims move to the next country, tear it up for a few years, then Israel comes in with Turkey and others, removes them, and then Israel continues to put in governments it wants by putting the radical Muslims in so they can be the hero and go in and take them out, just like Israel founded Hamas, just like Israel stood down on October 7th, just like they've been funding them since the 80s, but Netanyahu doubled their funding about 5 years ago, right up until the day of October 7th. And still no investigation into that stand down 7.5 hours before any military or helicopters or troops were sent. It was all auxiliary troops under their own leadership who took matters in their own hands that went down and fought Hamas that was backed by Hezbollah. And all the pro-Muslim people got mad at me back on October 7th. I said, no, clearly Iran's involved. Clearly they're running these proxy armies. That's on record. And they really miscalculated here because Israel now can legitimately come after them. Well, they've now definitely paid them back 100 times more than they got. But at the end of the day, you can't, with any certainty, remove the mullahs. It's a very low probability, as the Pentagon warned, before this all started. And they were right. So again, it's something that's not working. Explain that to Miriam Adelson and all these people. And again, you're claiming you want to just stabilize things and have Israel not hit by missiles. But really, you intend to keep pushing and pushing and pushing and take over most of the Middle East in your own admission. So that's what I'm really not signing on to. And they're not hiding that in Israel. They're very public about that. Well, I didn't sign up. I don't think you signed up to be the muscle, the enforcers for Israel in its living space, Lebensraum colonization operation. So here's J.D. Vance's pretty strong statement. It's accurate. About Israel thinking killing people is the way to go every time. And then I've got some other important clips we'll go to. Here it is.
Yeah, you've seen people in their system, Ben-Gavir and Smotrich, who've attacked the deal. And I guess my response to them would be, what is your exact proposal? And, you know, you're a country of 9 million people. You can't just kill your way out of solving every single national security problem that you have. Look at what.
And then here's a top Israeli leaders reject the U.S.-Iran peace deal and call for more war. It's clip 42.
He says the state of Israel must not accept the ceasefire between the United States and Iran. We must act with clear and uncompromising conscience. The security of the citizens of the state of Israel is above all else. A sovereign state is not a contractor for any superpower. It is not bound by agreements that block its ability to protect its people. We must continue, he says, to demolish the houses in southern Lebanon. We must continue to push back the residents of southern Lebanon. We must continue to eliminate Hezbollah terrorists in Lebanon. We love President Trump, but we do not accept the agreement he signed, and we must continue on our path. Here's Smotrich. He says the agreement with Iran is bad, is an bad agreement for Israel and the entire free world. Iran must not have nuclear weapons. We must not accept a reality in which the extremist regime in Tehran is continued to advance towards its goal. Yair Golan, with a stroke of a pen, the tremendous military achievements of our pilots in the skies of Iran and the heroism of our fighters on Lebanese soil were erased. All this while Netanyahu simply stands by as a criminal defendant indicted, as a weak, ill, as isolated and ineffective person.
What I will say, and this does bother me, is that you've seen people within Bibi's cabinet who have come out and attacked the deal and in some ways very personally attacked the President of the United States. And I guess my message to them would be twofold. Number one, Donald J. Trump is the only head of state in the entire world who is sympathetic to the nation of Israel at this moment in time. And he happens to be the head of state of the world superpower. If I was in the cabinet of the Israeli government, I might not be attacking the only powerful ally that I have anywhere left in the entire world. And the second message I would give to some of those cabinet members, Bibi, to his credit, has not gone down this path, but to some of these cabinet members in Israel who are attacking the President of the United States, the other thing that I would say is that over the last 3 months, two-thirds of the defensive weapons that have protected your homeland have been built by American hands and paid for by American tax dollars. The problem for Israel is not Donald J. Trump. And anybody in Israel who thinks their biggest problem is the President of the United States needs to wake up and smell the reality of the situation that country is in. Thank you all.
All right, so I like to show you Vance's comment about Israel wanting to kill everybody. I think that's the answer that isn't getting the traction it needs. Then I show you some of what he's talking about, proving what he said is true with Ben-Gavir and others who's really run the show over there. He saw his other ministers openly talking trash about Netanyahu to his face. He was there at those meetings. That's why I said, you think Netanyahu's bad? He is soft compared to these guys. Okay, these guys are crazy. I mean, Ben-Gavir goes to detainees, men, women, children, and starts beating them up on TV himself. I mean, he's just nuts. And then here's the clip Nick Fuentes. The last clip was what Nick Fuentes talked about, where he says, hey, we're your only ally. You should really watch it. Which is what you should tell Israel if you actually do care about them. I mean, this is out of control, folks, when you see where this leads next. You think the whole world's going to let Israel just keep taking everything, and they want Egypt, and they want Turkey, and they want Lebanon, and they want everything? It's crazy. So Nick is saying that, you know, Vance is doing this to politically save himself. Well, who cares? It's the right thing to do. And I like Vance. People ask, why do I like Vance? I've studied him. I've watched him. He defended me when I was being censored, before he ran for Senate, when he ran for Senate, once he was a senator. He's got a really good voting record. He comes off very smart, very nice. And then Marco Rubio is very articulate and very capable, but he's a neocon. And I've got the people attacking Vance and Trump, the very same members of Netanyahu's government, literally worshiping. I've got the articles and videos here saying, don't worry, you'll be the next president. You'll be what Trump should have. So Marco Rubio, folks, is who you need to be worried about. You got the corporate media constantly pushing him over Vance. So we need to get in position here to support Vance. I know for whatever reason it's fashionable to attack Vance and act like he's the establishment just because he knows Peter Thiel and people. I mean, I don't see that as the case, folks. And if you can find somebody better as the Republican nominee come 2028, please tell me. But I support J.D. Vance. Here's Nick Fuentes on that.
Seems that they are very unhappy with Israel. And they're not hiding it. Today, Vice President J.D. Vance defended the MOU at a press conference, and he really put Israel on blast. He reminded the Israelis that President Trump is the only world leader that still supports Israel, and said that Israel has only survived because of weapons that were made by Americans and given to them by America. And basically saying, you owe us. You owe us for your continued existence. You owe us for your defense and survival. And so now you better get in line. It's interesting, though, the way that he says these things. I saw a lot of people today say, well, doesn't this mean that J.D. Vance is based? Doesn't this mean that he's our guy? He's against Israel? Pay very close attention to what he said specifically. Because the way that he phrased every single thing at this press conference today, there's almost no position taken. A position is being implied, and you can interpret a position from what is being said, but what Vance is saying is strictly a matter of fact. And what I mean by that is, for example, he says, Donald Trump is the only world leader that still supports Israel. Well, that's simply a matter of fact. That's actually not a position. So there's not an opinion being expressed. There's not a position being articulated. Now, you might interpret a position. Maybe a position is being implied, but a position is not being articulated. You understand the difference? He says Trump is the only world leader that supports Israel. That is just a factual statement. He says the weapons that Israel uses to defend itself have been built by Americans. Another statement of fact, not a position. Now, the only thing that Vance said, I think, that constitutes any type of position is that Israel is maybe killing people needlessly in Lebanon, people that have nothing to do with Hezbollah. That sounds something more like a position, but what I'm trying to say is that Vance is choosing his words very, very carefully, very smart, very clever, because he recognizes that in order for him to have any chance in 2028, he's going to need to appeal to the America First base. This is an unpopular war. It's still going to have economic ramifications. It already is. He needs to receive credit for solving the issue. And that does mean defending the MOU against those that are criticizing it, which is the Israelis. At the same time, if he wants to secure the nomination and Jewish support in the general election in 28, he's not going to be able to completely alienate the Israel lobby. He's going to need to reconcile them and bring them back into the fold in the end, exactly as Trump did. In 2015 and early in 2016, you could describe Trump as Israel neutral or maybe Israel critical. But by the spring and summer of 2016, he had an AIPAC donation. He had a Miriam Sheldon Adelson donation. He brought them into the fold. And Vance knows he's going to need to do exactly the same thing. He's going to need to secure the nomination, the support of the base, which means take credit for this agreement, and he needs it to succeed, which means he needs to defend it against the Israelis. But he can't defend it too hard, and he can't upset them too much, because in the end, he's going to need to bring them back in. And that's why he went on Megyn Kelly to appease the base. But he also said on Megyn Kelly that just as much as Tucker and Megyn and the rest of them are part of the coalition, so are Mark Levin and the others, John Podesta, right, and right the there. Neocons.
So the real fight is America first or Israel first? And if Israel, if it was really, oh, just help Israel out, help Israel not be destroyed by its neighbors, I'd be like, okay, that's good for stability. Abraham Accords, let's do it. It's not. It's sign on to Israel doing whatever it wants, whenever it wants, and basically taking over our government even more. So, I like Vance. I mean, before he even ran for office, once he was in office, he would give private speeches and say, Alex Jones is a great guy, and Alex Jones tells the truth. So you can call me biased to that, but he's been a listener since reportedly high school, and he's a very smart guy, and he told me he'd had the nomination, that, you know, Trump was going to nominate him 2 months before it happened, so he told me that in confidence. So, I mean, I like Vance over Rubio. Sorry, just the way it is. And he's the only one that's willing to stand up to Israel in any way. And Israel needs to stand up against its own crazy leaders themselves. All right, we're going to go to break. Please remember, we're listener supported. I only bring you products that really work. Our methylene blue, our Shilajit, our Irish sea moss, our bovine colostrum is a private label, the top brand in the country. What it does for your hair, nails, skin, organs, it's the first 2 weeks off of any mammal. It's just a super nutrient complex, natural vaccines, peptides, you name it. It's basically what's in it. It's the mother's milk, the first 2 weeks of it. It's super concentrated. Get that. You get a great price on it. It funds the operation. Everybody should be on it. Separately, we have, this is a home run. Big Lee, it took them 2 years to get it done because it's, you know, they went through a lot of processes and companies. Highest tested, highest rated carbon gravity fed filters, beautiful 3 gallon stainless steel unit. Nobody's got stainless steel this nice. This is the highest rated filters. They sell filters that aren't even as good for $100 more. For the price they're selling this, it's a total steal. Now, the first run came in and sold out in 3 days, like I said it would. In a couple weeks, a few thousand more come in. You'll notice in about a week or so, I'm not going to plug this anymore because that next shipment will be sold out. So when you pre-order this right now, you just put yourself ahead of the line to ensure that you get it. Because when that pre-order is sold out, I'm not going to promote it till more is in, okay? So I don't normally do pre-orders, but everybody wants me to. So if you want to be at the head of the line to get this amazing new dual carbon platinum gravity-fed stainless steel water filtration system at the lowest price you're going to find anywhere, $300 for regular customers is insane, okay? For VIPs, was like $240 or something. You cannot beat that deal. Highest rating testing, thousands of chemicals to non-detectable levels. It is amazing. Get yours now. It is sold out, but you're pre-ordering it, locking it in that you get it for as low as, I'm sorry, for VIP, $229. I mean, they're making like $60 on that. That is insane. So everybody should be a VIP. $30 a month, get $40 from the store, cancel anytime, special deals, special offers, special sales. Everyone should be a VIP at thealexshow.com. Hour number two. Stay with us. Massive news coming up. It took them 2 years to do it. When Bigley came on as our sponsor, now the owner of the Alex Jones Network and the main backer, I said, I want gravity-fed filters. I sent them the test from previous sponsors, and I said, these guys fell off. Their quality wasn't as good. I got rid of them. This happens to these companies. There's only out of more than 50 gravity-fed companies, three or four that have the very best filters that cut everything out. They're stainless steel, and they start cutting the quality for whatever reason. I said, I want the highest-rated stainless steel. I want a clone of these products, but even better, and I want filters rated this high or higher. They went out, took them 2 years, they did it. This is something everybody needs, everybody wants. There's a giant market of folks that know how wonderful gravity-fed filters are and know what quality is. We have all the tests published on the site. It's the best. There are companies selling filters that the stainless steel isn't as nice, anywhere close, and the filters aren't even the highest rated. They're selling the damn things for $400. They're selling units similar to ours, aren't even as good, for $500 retail, discounting at $400. These babies are $300 and even lower for VIP members. There is very small markup. The markup is not even 100% in these, okay? And when you're VIP, it's even lower. That is the best deal. This is a home run. This is the best. This is going to help hire new crew on top of the crew, extra crew. It's going to help get new reporters and hosts and the new network getting completed with all the equipment stuff. I mean, this is a big investment here. We're rebuilding our operations. We can't do it without you, so... your word of mouth for the show, alexjoneslive.com, getting the free app, sharing that with others where they can get it, alexjonesapp.com, following us on X at Real Alex Jones, following us on Rumble at rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. That's all critical in telling others to do that. Your word of mouth, your prayer is king, but getting these products is also critical. and we only sell you stuff that really empowers you because we want you to love it and be impressed with it. So we have a relationship.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Take life and live it. Take love and give it. Do what's right, and you just can't go wrong.
Billy Carson is really smart. Been following him for over a decade on all the hidden technology, secret history. He joins us in the third hour, Jay Dyer in the fourth. In this hour, I'm going to get to the invaders now feeding children to crocodiles in the UK. And they've taken kids from Christian parents and given them to LGBT to viciously rape babies to death. I'm sorry, but this is really going on. But remember, we're listener supported and I need funds right now. So I'm asking for your support. Here's a breakdown of that. We'll be right back.
So I've been wearing a tactical belt like that. I've got one on right now. I've been wearing it for more than 20 years. That belt that you are showing right there with the rigidity of it, the strength of it. You see, because I carry a firearm. I've carried for, over 20 years. That belt is a $75 belt normally every day at retail. You have it for what, $39? Is that what it is?
Yes, sir.
$39? So I don't know how you guys do it. I really don't know. But you said your Bigley guys have put that together.
Yes,
sir. That is the belt. If you go to a firearms course and you train with the most experienced firearms trainers, they will wear a belt just like that because you're carrying spare magazines and you're carrying a pistol. And if you're doing even AR rifle training, you're carrying spare AR magazines. You have to have the rigidity and the durability of the belt. So that belt is a steal. I'm going to buy one. I might buy more than one. But, yeah, great job, Alex.
Well, what I love is the buckle, the way it just clamps down, the way you can set it exactly how you want it. And thanks to Bigley, I bought one of these like a year ago, like I said, on air for about $75. And then I said, hey, why don't you get this? And they were able to buy a whole bunch of them and get quality ones, so they're selling it for $39. And that funds the operation. We bring people whatever's the highest rated, whatever's the coolest. And we have this great water filtration system, highest rated filters, non-detectable level, really great stainless steel. We're trying to sell people things that will empower and enrich their lives and fund our operations. So it's a win-win for everybody. But, Mike, I appreciate your plug for the belt. These things are really, really strong. And they're also lightweight at the same time.
Yeah, and about your water filter there, this is becoming critical because some of the local water supply is becoming contaminated with the return of water from the data center cooling systems. And one of the things I'm going to reveal in the coming hour is how we saw very high aluminum and also high copper in addition to lead in the water samples. Now, that's going to get worse and worse because aluminum and copper, those are some of the metals that the water comes into contact with in the circulation system. And a lot of data centers will return water to the local water table, but it's not returned as pure deionized water. It's increasingly contaminated. So, Alex, your water filter being back in stock right now, I think is absolutely critical. Does that have the filters that go inside like we've seen before, that kind of configuration?
Yes, it's got dual, double carbon, highest rated. I mean, it's as good as anything out there at a lower price. We're very proud of it.
That's what everybody needs, and it has to be gravity because, again, we can't trust the power grid all the time. So, there's nothing wrong with a regular household water filter system, but you need a backup system that's gravity only, and that's what this is. What's the name of it again?
They gave it the name, the Ultimate Platinum. Ultimate Platinum. It's the highest quality stainless steel, the highest rated filters. It's got extra fluoride filters, too, if you want those. It really is an amazing system. We're so proud of it. The problem is getting enough of
it. That's key. That has been the problem is the supply chain. But if you've nailed it down, people need to take advantage of that. I'll go into more details about the water contamination coming right up.
I can't wait for this exclusive because you own a company that tests water and tests everything else. We'll be right back with Mike Adams. I want to explain why I'm so excited about this. This is a hit. This is the best. Royal Flushes, mega supreme good. This is a home run, and this sexy beast is going to help so many people cut out all the garbage out of their water. It looks like Marilyn Monroe to me right now. I've never been sexually attracted to, like, a sports car. I'm actually physically attracted to this right now because I know it's going to help people. I'm being silly. What sexy is it's great. I know a home run when I see it, and I know this is just another big victory. So thank you so much for all you and your support. That's what we got going on at thealexjonesstore.com.
Now in the 21st century, it's time to stand up and realize that we should not allow ourselves to be crammed into this rat maze. We should not submit to dehumanization. The 21st century is going to be a new century. Not the century of slavery. Not the century of lies, issues of no significance, and classism, and statism, and all the rest of the modes of control. It's going to be the age of humankind standing up for something pure, something right.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man.
I want freedom! That's what I want! And that's what Jason wants!
You're listening to Alex Jones.
The truth is out there in front of you, but they lay out this buffet of lies. I'm sick of it, and I'm not going to take a bite out of it!
AlexJonesLive.com. Tomorrow's news today. Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide. It's Alex Jones.
Having to cover stuff like this. I don't like having to research it. And I don't like having to air it. But it is the medicine that will protect the children and bring the criminals to justice. The only problem getting into this is as much horrible stuff as I'm going to show you, you have to understand this is only a tiny fraction of it. I know a lot of you are well-researched. You understand that. But for those that don't, this is far worse than I can even articulate with words. It is systemic. It is epidemic to the Western establishment and the people running our governments. We have a collection of Satanists, pedophiles, occultists, people that are all about selfishness, that are all about separating themselves from God, and they get a thrill out of doing really degenerate, horrible stuff. I mean, you don't think anybody actually enjoys eating poop or drinking blood. And that's low-level stuff these people do. That's just entry-level. That's like the gateway drug. Torturing themselves, torturing others, mutilating their bodies. This is all about in service to Satan. And at the epicenter of all these pedophile rings around the world, the Netherlands, France, Germany are some of the worst, but the UK, according to all the experts in my own research, and I'm an expert, is the mothership. It's hands down the capital of this stuff. And I've been on here 32 years, and it's constantly in the British news that MI6, MI5 are run by pedophiles, that the BBC is run by pedophiles, that this is what they do. And they've been caught over and over again, including killing children. So when they bring in the Muslims, most Muslim cultures, pedophilia is in the Quran. It's allowed at certain levels, but it's not epidemic. It's widespread. But in Pakistan, it's part of the culture, and it's just done. And so is inbreeding. Mostly deformed children in the UK are Pakistani, you know, they're like 3% of the population. You know, about the 500,000 girls kidnapped, raped, tortured, many of them killed. Their favorite thing is to chop them up into kebabs and sell them as lamb at kebab shops. I'm not kidding if you're a new listener. Doesn't sound real. They won't say who did it yesterday, so that means it's a Muslim or something. Throwing babies into, you know, three-year-olds into crocodiles to be ripped into pieces. You've got the German government from the 60s into the 2000s, declassified 8 years ago, sent 30-plus thousand children to live with pedophiles to create a new culture, including newborn babies being brutally raped, training them for sex slavery for intelligence agencies in NATO. You just pull all that up. I mean, I'm just throwing stuff at you here. You look it up. UN, giant, huge sex trafficking operations all over the world, DynCorp, Halliburton, Alcott, congressional hearings, you name it. But if you want to know who the kingpins are, at the very top of it, overhead shot, please. Keir Starmer was a Child Protective Services judge. Before that, he was a hardcore communist operative. And then he was so good at this, about 25 years ago, they made him for 15 years the head magistrate over all the family courts in the UK, or England and Wales. Now, zoom in on his eyes in that shot. That's him when he was first appointed the Lord High Inquisitor over all of it. And he protected that man, Jimmy Savile, who had the highest level national security clearance, where he had a special badge that he could go into any nuclear weapons bunker, any aircraft he wanted. He could not go into the palace at midnight, go into any room he wanted. He was best friends with Prince Charles. And he worked very closely to cover up the 450 children that were kidnapped, in many cases murdered, their blood drunk. They actually found the satanic temple under his house. You can look all this up. So Keir Starmer 100% is the enabler and the Lord High Protector of the most hardcore devil worshipers in modern times. All right? And Savile's specialty was going into terminally ill children, and then imagine they would die while he was with them secretly at the hospital. He would really load them into a ambulance and take them in to be dungeon tortured. Then they would take them back and say they died at the hospital. We know about 450 kids, but it was a lot worse than that. And they put them on TV and have them sit on his lap and tell him how much he loved them. He'd get their trust, and then he would brutally rape, torture, and then drink their blood with other men and women. So very nice people. Now, you look this up. Now, and if you're a new listener, this sounds shocking, but look what's in the Epstein files that came out last year. Remember, and earlier this year, remember those? Cannibalism, the rape, the sex slaves, the delivering the jerky. We're walking the jerky up from the boats right now. We're going to cut it up and eat it fresh. Yeah, I don't want frozen jerky. Don't worry. Tonight, you eat fresh children. So Jimmy Savile abused around 450 children over a 50-year period. That's what's known. Keir Starmer, the director of public prosecutions, declined to prosecute the case. File was later destroyed, and BBC covered it up. So he's the head magistrate over kids, the head over total prosecutions. He's the key guy, okay? So that these people could do all this. And Savile openly did pervert stuff, you know, on TV. That's what he was known for. Now, we have the new stuff here in a minute, including feeding three-year-olds to crocodiles yesterday. Look at this graphic, and I've used this analogy before myself. They now say it's 500,000 children in the official government inquiry covered up by Keir Starmer the last 20-something years. But let's just go with the earlier number of 250,000. Think of how many stadiums this is. This is a stadium of 62,000 people. Here's another one of 62,000. So how many 62,000s fit into 250,000? Dozens of sports stadiums with 62,000 people in them, mainly little girls, many of them killed, and they use the Pakistanis and others and corrupt police departments to run them and control them. And if they got uppity, if their dad tried to save them, they'd be arrested. The police officer spoke up, they'd be killed. This is industrial level attacks. Now, that leads us to the new stuff. This is yesterday. And you watch the local newscast, they say, oh, we're not allowed to tell you who it is. They said that yesterday. You always know what that means. It means it's an invader, a foreigner. Man arrested after toddler ended up in crocodile enclosure, not fit for interview, and released. But the witnesses said, no, the man grabbed the child and threw him over the fence into the crocodile pit. Here's the crocodile pit at the local zoo. The three-year-old boy who was pulled out of a crocodile enclosure at the Cambridge Zoo on Thursday remains in hospital in critical but stable condition after being chewed on by crocodiles. We have several local newscasts on this, dealing with it. The UK police are refusing to release identity, and they now say they have released him. Man 30 accused of throwing child in the crocodile pit, declared not fit for interview and released. Well, there you go. and they go around, rape victims, you name it, the police arresting them if they even criticize it. I have articles where a woman screamed out for help while she was being raped, and they said, we're not arresting the Muslims, you screamed and upset the neighbors, you go to jail now. I'll show you that latest article. Well, here it is right here. Woman who alleged gang rape failed as four Nottinghamshire police officers resigned. The woman herself ended up being arrested on suspicion of breaching the peace because she ran around screaming naked in the street saying, they raped me, help me, help me. Not allowed to do that. They can have their Muslim call to prayer and the rest of it, but that's just the way this works. We've got more on that for you, but here's local whitewashing newscast dealing with the latest crocodile feeding event. Here it is.
Astonishing story that is coming to us from Huntingtonshire. A 30-year-old man from Norfolk has been arrested on suspicion of attempted murder after a 3-year-old boy ended up in the crocodile enclosure
at
Old Hurst in Huntingtonshire, leaving him with serious injuries, according to Cambridgeshire Police. That is just coming to us from the police service at the moment. They say that they are with the boy's family in hospital as they wait for news on the treatment of their child. So that is the breaking news. A 30-year-old man from Norfolk arrested on suspicion of attempted murder in Huntingtonshire.
It's now active that he has been arrested on suspicion of attempted murder.
And Claire, what can you tell us about the zoo itself?
It's a very popular attraction locally. Lots of people who live around here and from further afield, particularly those with young children, will have visited here. I remember first reporting from this site around 20 years ago when it was very much a working farm. It's still a family farm, a family business. And at that stage, they had all the animals that you'd expect and had just introduced the first of their crocodiles in a bid to sort of diversify the business and welcome in more visitors. It has grown by leaps and bounds since then. Lots of additions in the buildings behind me, including a very popular farm shop and a cafe. And according to its website, it now has 100 animals on site, including lions and tigers and, of course, the crocodiles as well. We were here back in April reporting on tourism in the heatwave. But, of course, today's story, very, very different, very distressing for people living locally. And we can speak to a local councillor now, Charlotte Lowe, who is both a district and county councillor. Charlotte, thank you for making time this evening. What is the reaction locally? It's such a shock.
It is. Everybody's flabbergasted with it. Everyone's in complete shock. How on earth has it managed to happen? And you don't expect it to happen on your doorstep in a rural village.
It is every parent's nightmare, isn't it? Yeah. Particularly those of us who brought our own children along, or your nieces, I think you said.
Yes, brought my nieces here. Yeah, it's just my thoughts and prayers are for the family and the staff at Johnson's who've had to go through all of this as well. It's awful. I'd hate to be going through that myself. Not nice.
You know, when you watch those old 40s and 50s movies, Indiana Jones is kind of a remake of that whole genre, where it has like the archaeologist adventure and they're in Africa or they're in Asia and the crazy locals feed children to crocodiles. And that's because all that stuff goes on around the world. And so you bring people from fourth world caveman countries and they love to stab babies in baby carriages. They love to kidnap your daughter and rape her. Oh, there's crocodiles. There's a 3-year-old. Delicious. I'm throwing that white kid in. I've got countless videos of Muslims saying, we're here to conquer. We're here to murder you. We're here to kill you. We're God. We're supreme. They're all inbred. They're completely insane. Of the particular groups that are doing it. Look how arrogant the Somalis are. I mean, these people are crazy. So, evil monster who murdered toddler Preston Davey, he did this 3 years ago, it's just now he's been convicted, will die in jail for a crime that shocked the nation. Preston Davey, the teacher, will never leave prison for murder and sexual abuse of adopted baby. Now, I've read the actual conviction stuff. We can't play it on air. You'll hear the parts with the judge and others reading it being bleeped out. A whole life order, life in prison, given to UK teacher who sexually abused and murdered adopted baby. Now, this Jamie Varley and his boyfriend, they haven't gotten around to him yet. Just to describe this, the internal organs were all bruised and beaten up from the 13-month-old being gang raped. Lungs were full, and they found damage of it over and over again, vomit, and semen. So these men would, orally rape the baby. Then there's countless videos of them not letting the baby sleep and slapping it around and all the rest of it. And then finally it drowned in its own, vomit, when, the gay liberal teacher who just four months into it being taken away from their mother. And we have footage we're going to show you of the baby happy with the parents. But you know, they were Christian and, you know, they had some problems and the mom had some problems. And so it was given to the gay men. You see this all the time. And well, then they proceeded to torture and rape, or he did, the baby to death. And again, that's in the reports by the coroner, and just evidence of just cuts and healed cuts and bruises, the whole body beat up, the organs beaten to a pulp, because, you know, you have men, obviously, I guess, large penises, just beating the living hell out of the insides of this child. And that's really, you see this all the time where they catch them and they're even loaning the kids out, you know, here in the U.S. seeing the case all the time. I'm not saying there aren't gay men that adopt kids, you know, they're all raping them, but statistically, it's a very high level because they're really pedophiles. I mean, who really wants to go out and get some Christian family's kid? This is what they want. This is what they're into. And I'm not going to even get into the full details of it, but imagine this baby drowned in vomit and semen, its own vomit and semen, with it going into its lungs. So absolute vicious torture. And I'm sad the child's dead. Very sweet little child in the arms of God, no doubt right now. And of course there is a hell and these guys are going to it. But well, particularly the one that's been convicted. Oh, obviously the partner, I'm sure is totally innocent. I shouldn't say that. They're an angel. But here, ladies and gentlemen, is the baby, right before it was taken away to be tortured to death over 4 months.
Preston Davey was a happy and playful boy who never stood a chance. He was seen giggling in heartbreaking videos filmed months before he was adopted.
Are you laughing? Are you laughing?
Are you laughing? Are we laughing?
That's his real father. They took the baby away.
Preston's evil dad's Jamie Varley and his partner then subjected him to horrific abuse.
Look at that baby, looks at him.
Oopsie! Oh, it's okay!
Yeah, I've watched hours of court tape. They would then stage where the baby got hurt for the broken bones and busted lips. But look at the baby who they would sleep deprive before raping, and how the baby's looking at him like, why are you doing this to me? What? You see the child's eyes, like it was so happy with his mother and father, but with them, they're like, the baby's like, what? Trying to smile at him? Like an adult, though, like, why do you do this? What's wrong with you? Go back to that footage again. Go ahead and play it one more time.
Preston Davey was a happy and playful boy who never stood a chance. He was seen giggling in heartbreaking videos filmed months before he was adopted.
Are you laughing?
Which kid now?
Are you laughing?
He fed right into a wood chipper.
Are you laughing? Are we laughing?
So you'll be in a torture dungeon.
Preston's evil dad's Jamie Varley and his partner then subjected him to horrific abuse.
Child's looking at him like, what is your problem? This came out in court where they would stage the accidents. Oh, that's why your face is busted open. Oopsie. Lesions all over him, healed scars all over him, just tortured to death. Finally raped to death orally in vomit and semen. Sorry to say it, just that's your liberal. It's liberal, though. It's liberal. Cover it up. So they can keep doing it, getting their satanic power for Starmer. Look at Starmer. Look at those eyes. You're looking at absolute satanic demon in the flesh on Earth. So here are the police who are interviewing the now convicted monster. And he's going to spend life in prison. He'll probably be out soon, actually. They'll probably make him the prime minister next. And just remember, it's the social workers. It's the CPS. It is around the Western world that enable this and do all this. So they're just as guilty as the crocodile, the human crocodile they fed this beautiful baby to. Here's the scumbag being interrogated by the police.
So, how did you know that there was an injury there?
Because it was on the outside of his lip. It was visible on the outside of his lip here. He had two or three little cuts here on his bottom lip.
But this injury we're describing is under his lip.
Good pause. I'm not normally for torture, but that guy needs to be tortured for 4 months. I'm not saying do it. I'm just saying if it was justice, it turns the people that would carry it out into abusers. So he needs to just be, he needs to have a fire hose shoved down his throat and turned on high and blow his guts out the back. I mean, that's basically this kid, this baby. I mean, just look at this pig demon. And by the way, social workers knew it was happening, came out in court, wouldn't do anything. Because they're liberal. You can't. They're liberal. Oh, you're a Sikh. You just stabbed somebody 5 times. It's okay. We're letting him bleed to death because you said he's racist. Here, let's go back to it.
I'm referring to where I spoke to a nurse or a doctor. I'm referring to the ones on his lip here.
Have you been rough with Preston?
No.
Have you abused him?
No.
Have you been placing items into his mouth,
no,
causing that frenulum to break?
No.
Are consistent with Preston Davey being the victim of sexual abuse by forcible. Which would include a. Explain that, Jamie. Dr. Rabah will say that the force has caused a bruise to his bladder. And Dr. Arnold will also go on to report that this was a very recent event prior to death, even just a number of hours before.
Yeah, these guys brutally, brutally raped the baby.
How do you explain this?
Over and over again.
He needs to lose his job and needs to be in something else. You're absolutely wrong.
Preston was,
and it's in the report, his guts were torn out.
What did you do to him?
Nothing.
Did you place objects in?
No.
Dr. Rama's report also states that there are areas of the lungs with foreign material identified, and in Dr. Rama's opinion, is consistent with the breathing in and out of the contents of his stomach. How do you explain this?
No comment.
Did you cause this?
No.
And the post-mortem examination has identified some previous bleeding into the lungs. So how do you explain this bleeding previously into his lungs?
No comment.
Did you also cause this injury prior to the day that he died?
No.
It's in the Epstein files. Then we get recordings of the mothers speaking so they could play to the babies while they rape them because it would freak the babies out more.
Back of the throat of Preston Davey, along with bleeding into the lungs. And Dr. Armour will say that an upper airway obstruction.
So this guy raped his lungs.
Of baby Preston. That a blockage has suddenly occurred in the upper airway. Dr. Arnold reports that this is caused by a deliberate act of smothering.
They're saying they'll arrest anybody in the UK that plays this, by the way. That's why we're airing it. They don't want you to know what they're up to. So Keir Starmer is just as guilty as this guy. He's a devil-worshipping Satanist who protects known pedophiles. If I had to guess, I'm sure he's raped hundreds of children himself, probably killed them. I don't know that, but if I was a betting man, I mean, I would imagine Starmer's done some throat slitting, done some killing, just like Jimmy Savelli protected. That man on screen right there is a child murderer and a Satanist. We'll be right back. Stay with us. But God will have his vengeance on Keir Starmer. Look at those eyes right there. That's the eyes of Satan.
Inflation is up. That's an issue. So how does Berkshire handle that with its businesses?
Well, we can't handle runaway inflation except not to be there. But there are dozens and dozens of countries that have experienced it. And, of course, you have countries that have gone bankrupt like 6 or 7 times. I mean, not having faith in the money does to a country. It turns it into something else. Yeah. And I've always hoped that, you know, the U.S. never does it. But we are not immune from it happening.
Dollar collapse means we keep continuing on where we are. Dollar devalues. We've got massive inflation. You raise interest rates to slow that inflation down. So the implications of that are bond market is toast because the value of bonds, the price of bonds comes down as interest rates rise. The inverse is also true. When interest rates come down, the value of bonds goes up. So as you raise interest rates, the value of bonds comes down. Who's allocated into bonds? The bond market is way larger than the equity market, the stock market. So you've got pension funds that are allocated into bonds, right? Anybody that's on a fixed income, banks are allocated into bonds. Consider this, an insurance company. Most insurance companies across the country are allocated about 90% into the bond market with their internal portfolios. What does an insurance company do? It pays beneficiaries when people die, right? So if the asset that they have to sell to pay those beneficiaries is coming down in price, this is going to have a cataclysmic effect on the insurance industry, on pension funds, on everything, and on the banking system.
Let's be clear, though. A dollar being the world currency is how we could just print it and buy whatever we wanted. If the world sees it like the Mexican peso or worse, we're screwed.
Yeah, because that was our get-out-of-jail-free card, right? We could print as much money as we want, and everybody around the world still needed the U.S. dollar. If you don't have reserve currency status like every other country other than the one that has reserve currency status, when you print excessively, people no longer want your currency. Don't let the news scare you, but rather use the wisdom, the creativity that God gave you. Go into tangible assets that have zero counterparty risk. Silver was up over 140% last year. Since January 30th, when it corrected and it had a 50% correction, went down into the 60s, it's almost 90. Literally, since February, silver's up over 30%, Alex. So you can roll over your IRAs. You have an old 401k, roll that over. Your brokerage accounts, take delivery of it at home or store it at a depository. If you don't want to take delivery at home, we'll walk you through that, answer your questions, make sure that you feel comfortable with everything, because it's ultimately your decision. We're just here to help guide and go on this journey with you. 1,000-ounce bars of silver, 100-ounce bars, 10-ounce bars, or 1-ounce generic refinery rounds.
But then you can roll over the financial instruments, too.
1-ounce gold bars or kilo bars, IRAs. If it has IRA in the name, simple, SEP, Roth, traditional, inherited, we can do that. Or you can do just a brokerage account that you just wire as funds, and it's a non-IRA account.
Is it wholesale? And are they buying it back with no cost? No fee. This is the place to go. And we'll get into gold and silver as well. Dr. Kirk Kelly at KEPM.com/gold. That way they know it comes from us. So it supports the broadcast. KEPM.com/gold or 720-605-3900. 720-605-3900. Call and get a free consultation or sign up for email. They'll call you back. They can also roll over a lot of financial instruments. This is the place to go. KEPM.com/gold. So gold and silver is the way to go. The best investment for the last 2+ years. And you just check the wholesale price every day. That's what you get it for. You sell it back. For no cost, nobody else of any size does that. That's real.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
So for TV viewers, I can show you this. This is a classic pineapple fragmentation hand grenade that the U.S. military has been using since about the 20s, and it's still in use today. And it's got high plastic explosive inside of it. This is one that's been disarmed, obviously. And you pull the pin, and it ignites a fuse that burns for whatever you set it to, 5 seconds, 15 seconds, whatever you want. And then you throw this into somebody's window or into somebody's car or over an embankment where troops are at, and it explodes. Now, when Soros and other leftist judges around the world, whether it's Australia, New Zealand, Europe, the UK, Canada, the US, when they release people on their own personal recognizance after they shoot at police, shoot people, that happens in Austin just a few weeks ago, They are doing the equivalent of pulling a pin on a hand grenade and throwing it out into the general public. It's the exact same thing. So none of this is done by accident. This is all done by design. And without even looking, that's a key thing I say every day, without even looking, I come across, no exaggeration, at least 50 examples every day of in the U.S., in Canada, in Europe, you name it, of people convicted raping children as young as 3-4 years old, and the judges let them go, no time served. Today, dozens of examples in the U.S., in the U.K., in Germany, in France. And why would you do that? Sometimes they've had 20, 30, 40, 50 convictions, dozens of violent convictions. Rape. Just last week in Austin, this guy has broken into more than 30 women's homes in the last 10 years and then strangled them and raped them. But because he never killed them, he just strangles them while he does it. It's okay. And he's black. They let him out again with no bond. That was last week, just here in Austin. The guys that killed our reporter, Jamie White, they said they killed him because he was white. They made rap songs about it, a black guy and a Hispanic guy. They just plea bargained to 25 years in jail last week. And the judges that let them out before for other violent crimes, just like, hey, here's a hand grenade. Ha! Enjoy yourself. Boom! Here's a nice gift for you. Here, have one. Have a hand grenade. Speaking of hand grenades, I see in the news every week or so that they try to cover it up, but in Sweden particularly, but also in Germany and France, there are hand grenade attacks, killing people, police stations, you name it. Of course, hand grenades are illegal there. They're illegal here. That is armed, you know, full hand grenades. And so are guns over there, but magically the Islamics all get them and ship them in. So this is all meant to bring down society, demoralize people. And if the victims are white, well, you just immediately get out of jail. But if you're white and you come up to a Black Lives Matter protest and Antifa points guns at you and says, get out of the car, and you shoot one of them who's aiming a gun at you, a rifle, you go to jail. You know these cases. You're with a bunch of black people, and there's a crazy big black guy who's been in jail dozens of times attacking people, and he's attacking people, and you restrain him and choke him out, and he dies, and the black folks are like, no, we couldn't control him. We would have done it too. Thank you, sir. And you go to jail. So, and there are plenty of crazy white people out there running around too that are schizophrenic. The difference is they attack somebody or hurt somebody, they go to jail for 10 years. They kill somebody 20, 30 years. Not if you're black. They are just letting crazy people run around. Now, you talk to Muslims out of Pakistan and stuff, inbred, statistically crazy, very high crime rates, raping women, they say is okay in their interpretation of the Quran, and you wonder why 90% of the rapes are these few sects, I don't mean sex, sects, you know, like groups of Muslim men. And by the way, I noticed this finally hit the news. We first covered this 10 years ago when it started, and I covered it again 6 months ago, and people didn't believe me, even though when I showed you the videos. And then I noticed about a week ago, I covered it, and people didn't believe me because I've already shown it so many times. Like, you know what? This is real. And I know how the general internet is, not our main audience, but I knew when it hit X and Rumble and Facebook and Instagram, I knew that if I wouldn't show it, because when I do show it, it gets a million views, which is low. I do it every few months. And I was thinking last week, or it was about a week and a half ago, I was thinking, I said, I'm going to talk about how in Scotland, Ireland, Wales, England, and in Germany, and in Sweden, and in France, they have the local leftist NGO UN groups, the migrant councils, have 10, 11, 12-year-old girls get scantily clad and shake their butts on camera and say, I'm waiting for you. I'm here. Please move to my town. And then they air these things at the refugee centers in Africa and the Middle East and get the men ready. It's almost all military age men to come. And in Germany, they even run stuff in Arabic to the world that show 12, 13-year-old girls going, I am German. They have taught me to want a 24-year-old Muslim. That Muslim is the way. I want to marry you, have your babies, baby. This is in German, but we have the subtitles. So the government literally, like you put cheese out for a mouse to get it to come, you know, to the mousetrap. Oh, no. This is putting little girls out to get you to come in because 90% are military age men, 90% never get a job other than drug dealing and rape and murder. And so last week, it was like last Monday, I mentioned it and talked about it. And then I said, I'm not going to show it to you. And I waited. And then I last night, I fired up X, and there it was, top trending, hundreds of thousands of posts, but just out of Wales. City Council, with the migrant council run by Muslims, put this ad out 10 years ago of the little girl saying, come here, baby, I'm waiting for you. See, it's weird how the human brain works. If I don't show it to you, then you go find it and you care. So maybe I shouldn't show you this other stuff and just tell you I have it, so then you'll go discover it for yourself. It's weird. It's like the Q stuff. People love something if they can't prove it, even though what I'm saying is true. Now, by the way, this out of Wales is 10 years old. I've got stuff last year out of Sweden where it shows looks like 25-year-old bombshell blondes. I mean, super hot, okay? Fully mature, look like Marilyn Monroe, and they're in Swedish, but also with the Arabic being read under it, saying, oh, gosh, I love Muslims. You're so sexy. Oh, baby, come here. I'm waiting for you. I'm 14. I'm waiting. And, of course, it's a 20-something-year-old woman. These people watch this. They believe it. That's why they jump off the boats. They say, I'm here for the women. I'm here to rule. I'm here to conquer. I'm here to take over. And then they throw fits and go, where's my, you know what? I got to make a documentary about this because I've got thousands of clips now. I can't even keep track of it all. I only hear a fraction of them. But imagine a film starting with that, with like a doom, 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 just like 10 minutes of that up front. And then showing the rape and the murder and women going in Germany and other places to migrant appreciation concerts. And these beautiful 20-something-year-old women get out and they go, oh, hello, Islam. And the men just go, rah, rah, just raping them. I've only shown this on air once. Stacey's got mad, even though we barred it out, but we didn't bar the faces. The women are just being held with their legs back, and the men are just lined up raping them for hours, and the women are just like, ah, and you see the hell on their faces. We got to dig. See, I'm not going to show you that, though. You're going to find it. You're going to get tens of millions of views. Because if I just show you this, we'll get a million views. I don't want the credit. I've seen at least 20 videos out of Germany, Sweden, France, Italy, and Scotland, where the women are brutally, I mean, there's video, brutally gang raped. Now, they expunge most of it off the web, but you can talk about it, ask message boards about it. You will get it. And then in a few days, I'm crowdsourcing you to do it, because I've got a few of the clips today, but I'm not going to show them. Not going to show them. Hey, you can prove Jones is a liar. Why don't you go prove me a liar? Like, nobody fed a kid to a crocodile yesterday. They won't say who. That tells you who. Hey, come on. They're not feeding 3-year-old English babies to crocodiles. Okay. Yeah, they are. They're not raping 14-month-old babies to death and filling their lungs full of semen. Yeah, they are. That's the gay, trendy white guys. So I'm learning how people's brains work. I'm not going to show you the women at the migrant appreciation concerts, cultural Islamic appreciation events. Those are the names. And you're going to go find what I've already seen. I bet you find more. That is your work, your mission if you choose to accept it, and you can post it. Whoever, and then I will link to you. It's not that I'm afraid to post this stuff. For whatever reason, if you find it and post it and it's not me, there's not all the shadow bans, it'll be 10 times bigger. Because I just want to stop this stuff. I don't want the credit. I don't want to be the big number one guy at the tip of the spear all the time. Walking point for 32 years ain't fun. So I'll get to, this is a mild one. This is the one that went viral. I was like, I saw this last night with millions of views, dozens of videos, millions apiece, and hundreds of thousands of posts, just top of X. And I was like, they're upset about that? That's the mild one. Oh, hi, I'm waiting for you, Muslim here. I'm 11 years old, baby. We're waiting for you. Do you like my short schoolgirl skirt? I mean, the ones out of Germany. Oh, Muslim men. Oh, this is my husband. He's 24. He pleasures me so well. I want you to come to Germany. I'm waiting for you, baby, baby. I mean, the sickness of this. You wonder why they're all showing up demanding all this. It's because of that. So, but let me just give you some other stuff first. Look at this. This is Judge Tracy Lloyd Clarkey. Look at her. She looks like Ghislaine Maxwell with a wig on. Recorder of Cardiff. She sentenced ex-soldier Daff Fran Williams, a 41-year-old veteran who served in Iraq and Afghanistan, suffered PTSD, 2 years in prison, have to be served in custody for Facebook post made in the tense days after the Sutherland child murders. Yeah, the Muslim stabbing little girls to death. His post resurfaced Civil War is Here and included anti-Semitic imagery. She acknowledges military service, good character, references, and mental health struggles, but still sent him to prison for words on the internet. The same judge, I'm just going to give you one example, there's thousands of these, has also jailed others for social media posts in the riot crackdown, including 24-year-old David Morgan, who received 20 months for tweets involving Nazi imagery and racist content. Yet, when Reese Newman, convicted of the historic rape of a girl under 14, appeared before her for breaching his sex offender requirements, he was already a sex offender, she suspended his 2-month jail term, explicitly citing prison overcrowding. Part of the course. Oh, look at this lady. She was escaping a Muslim with a machete, fell out a 3-story building, and died. But that's okay. There's just hundreds of examples. Oh, let's look at this young man. This guy's par for the course. I am here to rule you, to rule Trump, Elon Musk, Netanyahu, and the Jews. Why are you proud of UK? This is my land. It belongs to Allah, says a recently arrived refugee without documents living for free in a British 4-star hotel. This is their mentality. Yeah, like the Somalis. We secretly founded Minnesota 3,000 years ago. All music is ours. All culture. All mathematics. We invented the wheel. No, you didn't. You didn't have the wheel. And it goes on and on. Iraqi refugee gets 6 months in jail for sexually assaulting 14-year-old girl. Just hundreds of these a day. It's just no big deal. It's all liberal. So it's all a free-for-all for these predators. And it's the Islamics allied with the pedophiles of the UK. They got plenty of them over there without the Muslims being around. And then with, Jamie White killed back in March of last year. And they caught the killers. They were producing rap songs about how they killed that white guy and how much fun it was. They just pled out 25 years. There's a new vile, disgusting TikTok called Austin Bob. It's about stab the white men in the neck. Kill them, kill them, kill them. So the left just open season on whites, murder, rape, do whatever you want. And then the judges, whether you're in the UK or the US, they protect these people. And that's how they operate. And that's how the left gets to go out and murder and kill whoever they want. So they've set up quite the system here. So go ahead and play the township thing in Wales, run by Muslims. They produce this. Yes, parents let their daughters go and with Muslim men promote this to be aired in the Middle East and Africa. That's on record. So here it is.
Hello and welcome to Wales. We understand being a refugee isn't easy. They go through so much.
Fleeing your country is difficult, but Wales wants to help you feel welcome.
The Welsh Refugee Council is here to help you. You can contact them here.
Wales is seen as a nation of sanctuary. We welcome anyone and everyone. We recognise your skills and talent.
The Welsh Refugee Council offers a lot of support, including
ESOL classes, which means English for speakers for other languages. It may be hard to learn our language, so we offer support. Employment. You may feel stressed about employment, but we can help. They help you to apply for bank accounts, child benefits, and they can help with housing. It's very important to have a warm place that you can call home. Education. Children have the right to education. Play for children. We know how important it is for children to socialise. Help finding doctors. It's extremely important to have healthcare.
Not only this, but Wales offers free education and healthcare.
There are many job opportunities here in Wales. IKEA works closely with the Welsh Refugee Council, providing jobs to refugees that come from all over the world.
On the screen now are some basic Welsh phrases.
Shemai.
Hello.
Bore da.
Good morning.
Prynhawn da.
Good afternoon.
Nos da.
Good night.
Sut wyt ti?
How are you?
We understand that you have been through a lot, and that is why the Welsh Refugee Council is here to help you.
Thank you for listening.
So that's the one that gets the attention. That's 10 years old. We first aired it 10 years ago. That is nothing. We now have new Welsh Refugee Council stuff. That's like the famous meme where it's like the 10 black guys in white and the little teenage girl in front of them. You know what's about to happen. They have it with all the Muslim men smiling in the government, and then there'll be little girls in front of them, and that's what they put out, like, hey, and then you know about the 500,000 sex slavery, all of it, this is like dangling the goodies out to the Islamics to come. Free health care, free everything, you know, here it is. But everybody should go out and find the stuff in Germany, Sweden, France, and the other stuff in the UK, far worse than actually shaking their ass, saying, I'm 14, I want to marry a Muslim, come here, baby, baby, baby. I'm not going to play it. It's up to you. It's up to you. Like in V, he says, why didn't you take action before? And he goes, I was waiting for you, Inspector. I was waiting for you. So no one cares if I show it. But now because I put it out there, the mystery's there. I have no doubt you'll find stuff I didn't find. It'll be worse. Now take action. I've given you the breadcrumbs, my friends. Now, speaking of the Austin Bop. Oh, it's the Bop. You've heard of the Monster Mash. It was a graveyard smash, the Monster Mash. Or you've heard of ma-mow, 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 ma-mow. Everybody's heard about the bird. We can't have songs like that. We gotta have songs like my boyfriend's back and you're gonna be in trouble. Hey, no, no. Nothing fun, nothing wholesome, folks. We've got the Austin Bob. And this on top of all the left everywhere will shoot you in the neck like Charlie Kirk. We'll stab you to death like Austin Metcalf. You've seen the celebrations. You've seen Jasmine Crockett celebrating it, members of Congress. But here are black young folks all celebrating how they're ready to stab people, kill those whites. That'll get them ahead. Here it is. So, yeah, we had to fade it down because we're out of dump. We have to delay stuff for stations when there's cuss words in it, but it's all about stab, stab, stab that Metcalf, stab that Metcalf. And it's just so cool to kill and then get thrown in prison for it. But don't worry, you'll be out in a few years. If you get a Soros judge, you won't ever spend any time in jail. So, guys, I know we're live right now. Have the crew, when we post this to X and Rumble later, a clip of the show, have them add the whole thing in post, okay? Fantastic. I got a bunch of other clips here, too. I got a bunch of black guys saying, why whites we used to hear were so evil and enslaved everybody, why do they lay down to us when we beat them up and attack them and kill them? Why are whites such incredible wimps? Well, whites ended slavery worldwide, except what's still going on in Africa. Whites, on average, were Christian. The stuff you learn about in school, almost none of it's true. Most of the countries in the world and third world places saw the arrival of the Christian missionaries as a good thing for agriculture and wells and medicine. Now, behind us came George Soros and Bill Gates and Prince Charles's dad. All those eugenicists, globalists, but these black guys, all these clips I have are like, well, why are the whites such wimps? Well, because the average white is a guilty person that thinks they're evil, that thinks all humans are bad, that we're killing the earth. They think cows are bad because they fart. They're into being the oppressor and that they are a bad person and their new religion is hating themselves. So you look at some pathetic white jellyfish racked with guilt, and you think, well, this is an evil white devil. Why does he give me anything I want? Why does he bow down to me? Why does he do this? Because it's a self-loathing person. It's not who you think it is. That's why 90-plus percent of the time you hear about some black woman grabbed by two white men that carved a swastika on her back, and it turns out it's fake. Or somebody's burning crosses in front of black churches, and it turns out it's the pastor that wants to get more money. As soon as I saw this, deranged anti-Trump leftist charged with hate crime because he got caught on surveillance video after burning crosses with MAGA hat on top in Chicago's Grant Park. And it was a false flag to make MAGA look bad. But he got caught because the cops know, folks. Look at this. Trump-appointed judge orders ICE to release Hamas-linked Milwaukee Mosque President Salah Sarsos, I can't pronounce this, despite terror convictions and immigration fraud allegations. Repeat offender released from jail just 2 days earlier randomly chokes a woman at Target in California. I mean, I'm just randomly going through these. Fired Florida juvenile probation officer kept access to sensitive court database for years, used it 106 times to tip off drug traffickers about active arrest warrants. I mean, I'm just going through all of this. because there is an idea that's been put out there now that as long as you're doing it to white people, it's okay because they deserve it because they're evil. I'll never forget, I had him on the show. He said the newspaper had on something X. I forget his first name. The head of the New Black Panthers out of Houston, like 10 years ago. And he said, we need to mug and kill the white people. Black people need to stop robbing and killing black people. You need to get in the white neighborhoods and rob and kill them because they're the devil and they deserve it. You've seen similar clips we played earlier in the week of others saying it, the New Black Panther Party again, and others, and the John Brown Gun Club. But that's because they know 90% of blacks are getting killed by blacks, and they already know it's 20-1 black-on-white crime. That's a low number. It's probably worse. So they're literally out there calling for this, but they never get arrested. They never go to prison. That's illegal speech saying go out and kill people, go out and kill groups. It's not protected. Because I'll bet you $1 trillion the Southern Poverty Law Center is funding. I've never seen that come out, but I've seen it. Leftist groups, NGOs are funding them. And so it's all the same thing. So people need to be aware, as bad as all this is being progenerated. This is coming out of the global left worldwide. This is their divide and conquer program. All right. We're going to break. Billy Carson, really smart individual on secret history and archaeology, joining us. Super big guest. Can't wait for him to be joining us. I'm going on his show soon as well. But before we go any further, this new shirt that Bigley came out with is the best of all these new July 4th, 250th anniversary shirts. I'm really, really proud of it. It is America 76, 250 years. It's the G.I. Joe type design. Really a good-looking shirt. It's got the Betsy Ross flag on the right shoulder. It is a hit. Bigley's mailing me mine right now from Arkansas. I'm going to be wearing this on the show, if not tomorrow, by Sunday. I know a hit when I see it. I love this new shirt. And I helped design some of the other shirts. They're excellent. This is a really good crop of limited edition 250th anniversary 1776 apparel to meet like-minded people, to spread the word, and to support the broadcast. So great job at Bigley with that America 76, 250 years. It looks great with a sports jacket, great without it. It's that brilliant blue on white with red, white, and blue. I think this is a first-rate shirt, and the other designs are amazing as well. They're limited edition, only sold through the month of July coming up, so the end of June and July, and it funds the operation. I want to thank all of you that are getting some of the great limited edition shirts at thealexshowstore.com, and want to encourage those of you that have it to take action now. That's how we spread the word, and it's how we fund this operation. Separately, the first run of the very best gravity-fed filters with the very best filters that cut everything out, highest rated, with the very nicest, high-quality stainless steel, beautiful units sold out. More coming in like a week and a half. That's pre-order, but we're going to have to stop the pre-order soon because that order will be sold out, and I'm not going to do pre-order anymore until we're stocked up. But if you want to get one of these filters now, you can get your order in soon. For the Platinum Ultimate Gravity Fed System, dual carbon platinum gravity fed waterfall system, right now, make sure you get yours at thealexjonesstore.com. Stay with us, hour number 3, Trader.
Hi, folks. Doc Bigley here. And today we're going to get to know our H2O. Billy, what kind of water do you drink?
Why, tap water, of course. Ma says it keeps my teeth sparkly white.
I'm sorry to say it, Billy, but your mother is either plain ignorant or worse, a communist. Let me explain.
Tap water used to be safe to drink, but communist subversives in our government introduced fluoride into our nation's tap under the guise of dental health, when in reality, fluoride lowers your IQ, calcifies your pineal gland, and makes you susceptible to anti-capitalist mind viruses.
So you're telling me I'm a sap if I drink tap?
Yes, you are, Billy. Yes, you are. But don't despair. We've found a solution. Follow me. I'd like to tell you a tale of two frogs. Frog number one has only ever drank unfiltered tap water, chock full of fluoride. Observe him listening to satanic music, abusing substances, and engaging in other perversions.
Look, Doc, they're trying to play leapfrog. They're pretty bad at it, though.
Avert your eyes, Billy. Let's continue.
Meanwhile, frog number two has only ever drank water that has been filtered for fluoride and other impurities. What a happy frog family.
Spill the secret, Doc. How do you get rid of the communist poisons?
With the new water filter system from the AlexJonesStore.com.
Say, Doc, may I have a glass?
Why, certainly. Well, that's just swell. No water in the water filter. Listen, I'm not mad at the crew, but I asked for real water in here 30 minutes ago and never got it.
Crew's in trouble again.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Well, morning passed so quickly, it was time for them to meet. It was 20 past 11 when they walked out in the street. Folks were watching from the windows, everybody held their breath. They knew this handsome ranger was about to meet his death. About to meet his death. There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the ranger is still talked about today. Texas red and not clear leather, for a bullet fairly ripped. And the ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip.
Big iron on his hip.
Big iron on his hip.
Big iron!
It was over in a moment and folks had gathered around.
Billy Carson's really smart on ancient suppressed technology, archaeology, you name it, travels all over the world. And you know, I remember him 8-9 years ago talking about all the big hidden structures under the pyramids, which I know the ancients talked about, but specifics, now they've done ground penetrating radar, it's been proven. But he wants to get into the UAPs and all this hype and what's really going on with all of that. That's coming up at 6 after. But you notice every time Russia's ready to do a peace deal, Ukraine launches gigantic attacks with NATO weapons all over Russia, including just blowing up apartment buildings, hotels, civilian targets, oil refineries inside Moscow. Let's play those clips we just showed with audio of the stuff that's been happening the last few days as the war just escalates. We have footage of apartment buildings been hit by drones. In Moscow are just apocalyptic. So when you see, quote, Ukraine, that means the globalist. That means NATO. So Israel's now derailed the peace deal, carpet bombing Lebanon, saying they're not going to leave it Lebanon. They're going to take southern Lebanon. If they get away with that, then they're going to say they're going to take everything else. I mean, It is just a disaster that Trump, after wisely not letting Israel drag us into foreign wars or others drag us into them, his first term, he was truthful about that. It's one of the main reasons I supported him, that in border security. He just killed it all. And now, Bovino was gone public the last month, including on this show, the former head of the Border Patrol, that there's a stand down in an internal enforcement and that they're getting rid of all the good guys and bringing in bad former Democrats or current Democrats to run it. And then indeed it's coming from Trump. So why? And now I spent $700 million on 7 new warehouses. Now it wants to get rid of them, saying they don't need them to hold people for deportations. So there's not just a stand down internally in the country. Now we're getting more border crossings, and we're down from like 96% being stopped to 92%. So Trump pumped the brakes on that in a big, big way. And for people that say, oh, you know, you're anti-Trump, you're pro-Democrat, that's a preposterous argument. I'm anti-Trump getting us into these wars. I'm anti him backing off his stances. And conversely, when I get on his ass about going sideways, people say, what are you doing engaging in Trump? What are you doing engaging him? Well, I'm trying to get him to do the right thing. Like I said, that's just preposterous not to be politically engaged. that's giving up. If the Democrats steal the election or get back in the midterms because of Trump's bad moves in the economy, I'm going to oppose legislation they're putting forward, like taking our guns. I'll say, call this member of Congress, tell them no. Let's go march and demonstrate peacefully. You go, what, do you work for the Democrats? No, I'm getting on their ass to get them to take action. And this is a new thing I've noticed where if you're politically engaged, you're bad. You're a sellout. That's the opposite of that. You guys are under bot farm control or mind control or something. And I've got your serious screw loose. It's a minority of you that think like that, but I'm still addressing you because that's sick, black-pilled thinking. We got to be green-pilled. Anything's possible. We got to be optimistic, informed, realistic, and engaged. Our special guest, straight ahead in 60 seconds.
Thanks for having me. Before I start, wanted to pitch a couple of the products there for the listeners. The bovine colostrum's been fantastic. My mom had tremendous results, similar to the results your mom had with her hair and skin. Methylene blue, the mental clarity, the focus has been amazing. I just found that I just needed to up the dose a little bit from the recommendation, and then that really hit. So definitely helps to support the broadcast. Alex, the reason you're so successful and the reason so many people chime in is because you have the best guests. That does include Victor Boot, but I will reference the legendary Gerald Celente. What does he say time after time? When there's nothing left, they take us to war.
The bovine colostrum is incredible. The methylene blue, you fund us. You're our funders, not the Israelis or the Muslims or the Russians or the U.S. government. You fund us at thealexjonesstore.com. And the new news site for all the feeds and articles is alexjoneslive.com. And on Rumble, rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. We'll be right back.
Another world, another time, in the age of wonder, another world, another time, his life was green and good, until the prison cracked.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Well, Billy Carson is our guest for the hour. Then Jade Iyer's coming up. I've been following his work for at least a decade. He's a best-selling author. He's the founder and CEO of Forbidden Knowledge, Inc., the best-selling author of The Compendium of the Emerald Tablets, Woke Doesn't Mean Broke, and The Epic of Humanity. He is also the winner of 2022 Stellar Citizens Award. He also is a founder and CEO of Four, that's the number four, Bidden Knowledge TV and Conscious Streaming TV Network, the host of the Forbidden Knowledge podcast and the co-host of the Biohack, Your Best Life podcast. He also is a writer and contributing Rolling Stone and Entrepreneur magazines. He appreciates the dedication and hard work it takes to accomplish great things. Amongst his most notable achievements, Billy is the CEO of First Class Space Agency based in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Specifically, his space agency is involved in research, development of alternative propulsion systems and zero-point energy devices. Forbidden Knowledge on X, forbiddenknowledge.com. And I wanted to get him on about just an update on the ground-penetrating radar, multiple groups using satellites, aircraft, proving what the ancients said, what he wrote about a long time ago. There's a bunch of complexes under there, and not just the big complex, you know, right outside Cairo, but other ones. I mean, he'll give us an update on that, but he sent me a whole list of things. He wants to get into the UAPs, why this is all being brought to the front right now. Obviously, with Spielberg and all the rest of it, he says don't believe in basically God. What is that really about? There's a larger psyop here, but all the ancient cultures tell basically the same story. And so we know a lot of this is going on. But from my own research, most of it is human reverse engineered. And from his research, that's where he goes as well. He wants to get into the U.S. government now treats UAPs as verified national security issue with official records released by the National Archives in 2025. UFOs likely originate from multiple sources, advanced human tech, extraterrestrial craft, multidimensional phenomenon, or even future human technology. Yeah, time travel. That's probably the most likely. The core question isn't whether UFOs exist, but who created them. Ancient myths and sky being narratives may reflect real historical encounters long before modern disclosure. Full disclosure could upend religion, science, history, and the underlying of human origins if even one case confirms non-human intelligence. But knowing the globalists, how they operate, they always want to control narratives. I don't believe anything comes out of these major governments. Like Rubio, oh, we shot down five craft. We don't think they're aliens. Some other government's got them. But then there's the other narrative that the aliens are here to attack us. They're going to get us. The other narrative, Odo, they're all friends. To break all this down is Billy Carson. Billy, great to have you here. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, sir. I'm glad to be back. I appreciate it.
You've always got a lot to say, but you've got quite the research background. Where to start? Obviously, we're at a very special moment in history right now.
Yeah, very special moment. A lot of information being released. It seems as if the oligarchs and the elites want to take control of the narrative. Even the church, not the Christian church, but the Catholic church also wants to be part of taking control of the narrative with that Lucifer telescope that they built in Arizona, looking for alien life and saying that they want to baptize the first alien. There's this now rush to take control of the narrative because the fact that aliens actually exist is most likely real. Now, whether they're from the ocean, from space, from inside a cavern, inside the planet, or multidimensional, interdimensional, that's a big question. Now, I personally believe that we're looking at a situation where we have some maybe from paranormal activity, higher dimensions, future travelers, and then maybe even some third dimensional beings. But it seems as if most of what we're seeing and most of what we're hearing about is reverse engineered technologies or advanced technologies made by humans themselves. And I think that they've been using this device that I learned about back in 2018 where I signed a gag order on it initially, an NDA. And now since it's been released to the public, I can talk about it. It's called a quantum mirror. I learned about that back at the Space Symposium in 2018 for private space where I had TS clearance. And this quantum mirror, they're able to send photons with packets of data into the field, this field that we're living in. And then they get that data back. But when the data comes back with different data packets, and they were saying that in some way this allows them to see potential future outcomes. And I believe my personal belief now is that they are in some way intrinsically communicating potentially with a version of ourselves from the future. And this could be why the rush to take control of the narrative.
Well, that was my next question, is why are they trying to take control of the narrative? Is it because so many governments and institutions and private groups are reverse engineering things? I mean, take just the experiment that was discovered by a layperson, now confirmed by universities, that you can take DMT and fire a laser into a prism, and then it literally creates a matrix grid where you can see the live code of the universe, like this alien language, and anybody that does it sees it. I mean, it just there's so much we're discovering about what's around us.
Absolutely. I was talking with Professor James Gates Jr. from the University of Maryland. He's a professor there. He used to be the former presidential scientific advisor to Obama when he was in office. He's a supersymmetry expert and also an expert on theoretical physics. And he put together a team of mathematicians about a decade and a half ago, and they started analyzing what is this fabric of space-time that we're living in. And they discovered something called Adinkra codes. And when they took these Adinkra codes and turned them into three-dimensional substructures, hidden within them are something called error-correcting codes. But not just any error-correcting codes. They are precisely and exactly the same exact error-correcting codes that we find in our search engines and web browsers. And so in some intrinsic way, yes, the Bible is right. The Quran is right. The ancient spiritual sages are right. We're living inside of a creation. What now we're beginning to find out is what is this creation actually made of? And it appears to be a fractal holographic matrix made of light. And it seems to be imbued with some type of divine programming and some type of divine energy. So this discovery is just breaks apart all theories because now I believe that there is a God. I believe that there's a creator because the mathematics, the science, and the programming is telling us that this is a creation. Because for us to duplicate that type of a system, which we have, we call it video games and computers, we can only take it out of what's already inside of us. It's a fractal of our own consciousness, and we're a fractal of God. And so that means that there's a creator of this entire realm. And what it means is there was a method utilized to create this realm. And within it, there could be vast amounts of other potential sentient beings living along with us, not only in this dimension, but even in higher dimensions. But it seems as if what is happening is they have really done a very good job in creating a lot of these advanced technologies and experimenting with them, even on us, just visibly and maybe even sometimes physically. And I remember one of the former congressmen, I think his name was Gates, had talked recently about people, you know, in the government dressing up as aliens and abducting humans off the streets and then taking them to some type of a potential hybridization program with real aliens you know, in a shelter somewhere, inside an underground bunker somewhere. There's so much going on. It's like so much to unpack. And so that's why I'm beginning to believe that there's multiple things happening simultaneously.
Now, looking at this, because there's so many places to go. I mean, I know you're familiar with the DMT laser experiment where anybody takes it, they shoot a laser into a prism, and then anybody can see the matrix code. And now they've got major universities confirming all this. They've got major universities confirming that DNA, like the ancients said, well, the very cells are made out of receivers, transceivers, mm-hmm. that receive and transmit. It looks to me like no matter what the so-called establishment does, they're not going to be able to suppress very long what's about to come out. And from your deep research, what is it that's about to come out?
Yeah, so what's about to come out is that human beings are actual containers of data. We are the original data platforms. You know, we are the big super center data places, because what's happening is they discovered that a professor named George Church, he took an ebook, a multimedia ebook, and he transferred it into DNA by converting it from A's, T's, and G's into zeros and ones, and then back into A's, T's, and G's. So he's able to put it, A's, T's, and G's into DNA, convert it back into zeros and ones, and bring it back to the server again. They were also able to replicate that ebook 80 billion times with a B, 80 billion times on 1 gram, which is one drop of DNA. To test the storage capacity, DNA can store an incredible amount of data in a volume. And so then other scientists got involved. They began to realize you can even transmit wireless information directly into DNA and back. And then they took atoms, individual holmium atoms, and they developed a tool to write data directly onto them. And they began to write data onto individual atoms and realized that, oh my goodness, the entire human avatar body is nothing but a USB drive. And here's the crazy thing. When you look at how much data one human body can store, it's about 13.5 or so billion years of data. The age of the universe, according to string theory and physicists, it potentially could be about 13.5 billion years old. So the history of the universe itself is unlocked in all of our recycled atoms within our own body and encoded within our DNA. And that all it takes now is for someone to find the primer. If we can discover the primer, which is going to happen with AI, when we get access to ASI, artificial superintelligence, or maybe even just AGI, artificial general intelligence, I believe within the next 3 to 5 years, a private researcher, a programmer, could find the primer to our code that's hidden within the human genome itself.
Absolutely. You know,
and
my
that's
dad.
That's going to unlock everything.
My dad's done his own science stuff and a doctor and knows a lot of scientists over the years. And I remember him like 30 something years ago saying, you don't understand, that so-called junk DNA, they say is 96% of it, that's actually the whole history. And he said scientists that were atheists are digging into it. This is like 30 years ago, 40 years ago. And they're finding that there's like every other animal species in there, but also a bunch of stuff that isn't even human and not of this world. It looks like it's actually a record vault of everything going back in time and everything we've been part of. And then I remember reading different documents about globalist and occult things from like top people. And they'd say, yeah, the globalists call us containers and these bad aliens call us containers. I know you've run into that before. So now we then discover that we actually are these ultimate archives ourselves, living sentient beings that are also carrying. So that's why God says in the first book of the Bible, you're not God, but you're little God made in my image. Anything we envision, we can end up building because we're God's artificial intelligence.
Yeah, we're a fractal of God itself. We are the original AI, like literally. So what is AI? People say, well, AI is not real. Well, AI is only a fractal of our own mind because God took us out of himself or itself, and then we're here, and then we took a version of that fractal and we took it out. Now we call it AI. And so anything that we create,
and,
that we call
and how ridiculous for us to call it God. We're going to worship something that's just a fractal of a fractal of a fractal of God. Right. Sorry, start over. Go ahead. Yeah.
Right. No, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right. I'm glad you said that. And we just got to recognize and realize that we can only create what's already within us, what's already come from us from a higher level. And the ancient Hermetic principles is called as above, so below. Right. And this ancient teaching is telling us that on the larger scale, on the macro, you'll find everything there in the micro. And the fractal holographic universe theory, you find that as you zoom into the nature of reality itself, you will see the larger part in the fractal in each and every pixel that exists. So it's wild that we're just now beginning to discover what the ancients already knew and what even a lot of the biblical texts and religious texts have been saying, but it's now beginning to become more understandable as we can merge the spiritual and philosophy with the science and the quantum mechanics to get a better understanding of exactly what might be going on with humanity.
And again, if we have new listeners here that don't follow Billy Carson's work, everything he's saying right now, when he gets into the pyramids and ancient archaeology and things, you know, that's up for speculation, though a lot of stuff he wrote a decade ago has been now proven. So his speculation is amongst the best. You know, scientifically, that's what science is. When you don't know something, try to test and figure it out. But when it comes to quantum mechanics, the nature of the universe, all this, yeah, there they are a decade ago or so. Hey, let's try to print things on atoms. And they go down there and they say, there's stuff already printed on this. We don't know how to read it. Yeah. And now lay people can literally take DMT that, because you're, obviously your optic nerve shields everything. Mm-hmm. You'd see too much. It'd be too complex. You can see other dimensions, yeah, and, you know, all the light spectrum. But you lift that veil, all of a sudden with the laser, you're reading what looks like alien writing that changes and moves and is everywhere. So, you know, mm-hmm, we buy something from China, it says made in China, or buy something from England, made in England. This stuff says made in. I mean, I just can't wait. But that's the ultimate secret. Before somebody really breaks through, like you said, the Rosetta Stone, they're going to try to create a false Rosetta Stone with this whole fake alien, yes, rollout. And I think shunt us off from really God's message. I want to get your take on that. Yeah. But from your deep research, I really respect you. What is the prime directive of us? What is our mission being given all this incredible power and given consciousness?
I'm glad you asked that question because I want people to know, because people are like, man, this guy must be an atheist. I'm not an atheist. I actually believe in God because the proof is all around us that there's a God that exists with the creation. And what I believe our ultimate mission is, because we are a fractal of God itself, is to be exactly what God is, a creator, but a manifester of light. God is a master of alchemically turning darkness into light. The universe was dark. God turned darkness into light. God spoke light into existence. That's a cymatic frequency or a vibration. What are colors? Colors are nothing more than frequencies that are picked up by the eye, sent to the brain, and decoded frequencies. Then we call it a color, but it's really a vibration or a frequency. And so I think the ultimate mission here for mankind, with given all this power, this knowledge, and the awakening that we're going through right now, is to recognize and realize it's our mission here to find a way to turn darkness into light. In other words, to turn this planet, which appears to be in some ways a version of hell, but turn hell into heaven, convert the darkness on this planet at every corner, all four corners, and convert it into light. Create a golden age here. That could be the ultimate lesson and the ultimate mission and even the ultimate experiment for mankind. When will we stop falling for divide and conquer? When will we love our neighbor truly as our brother and sister? And when will we go into collaboration over competition and build a greater reality here and manifest heaven on earth? And then maybe that's the ultimate goal of us being here, is to create this new golden age, not one that rises and falls like has been happening over and over in these cycles, but a golden age that we finally, for the first time, sustain for a very long time. No more rising and falling. We finally learned all of our lessons, and now we're here to be the best version of ourselves.
Well, the Bible tells us you're to be the light of the world. That's what Christ said. But if you look at it, God says, you know, it was dark, and then he made light. Then he created water. Then he moved across the water. Then he started creating the beings. And then he made, you know, Adam in his image, and then split off and made Eve out of Adam, which is showing we make the next thing. We make the AI. It's an archetype. It's true. And it's in all the other ancient texts. Things are almost identical to that. But truly, we are bringing information. Light is information. Light is encoded, yeah, data. And so that's what God wants, is more information, more consciousness, more diversity. We hear about, yeah, entropy. Entropy is there in systems. But if you look at the universe, I see expansion and more complexity. I see entropy as just a smaller side of expansion.
Yes. Correct. Entropy appears to be isolated in certain corners or areas, but not in the whole macro of the universe itself. That's a phenomenal point you just brought up. Nobody's ever brought that point up. That's a really great point, because if entropy existed at all points in space and time, this thing would have completely dissolved by now at the rate of expansion and everything else. Stars would have ran out of fuel and everything would have collapsed. I don't believe stars are going to run. I mean, stars will run out of fuel, but at the expansion of the universe, they're saying eventually it'll be one big dark place. Well, there's always going to be a conversion process where everything in here is moving into another realm, creating maybe another new universe. And through quantum physics, we now understand that parallel realities exist, that maybe even a multiverse exists. So this thing becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, and each one could be a grand experiment. How many planets in this particular universe will rise, the people will rise to a golden age that I created? How many people in this universe over here that I created under the different laws of physics will rise to a golden age and sustain it? And all these, you know, crazy things are going on, but also the parallel realities. In other words, right now we're on this feed together and that people are watching us on this feed, but there's a version of reality due to, you know, wave particle duality where certain people didn't get on this feed. They didn't see the message or the notification, or they chose not to come on here. So they didn't end up on this timeline that we're sharing for this temporal amount right now of time. They are in a fractured version of a reality where they're going down a different direction. And so these fractures happen on a consistent basis. We fracture reality by having a conscious thought, taking an action behind that conscious thought, and then creating an unfolding of brand new reality right before our eyes. We manifest our reality, our future reality, moment by moment based on actions we take in the moment. And this is a powerful thing to understand, because then people will begin to realize that we have a certain amount of control over the future outcome. We're not just set into this destiny mindset, that we are also co-creators in this reality together.
And that's why the globalists try to demoralize us, turn us against each other, make everything as ugly as possible to just make you give up so you don't dream, because that dreaming is then the conceptualizing of new information platforms and more light and more expansion in God's huge consciousness, true diversity, explosion. I mean, you can see it.
Yeah. There's no doubt about it. You're talking about now the first thing they steal from you is your imagination. As soon as you come out of the womb, you know, from the ages of 1 to 7, it's, you know, shut up, sit down, be quiet, sit still, stop fidgeting. You go to school, shut up, be quiet, raise your hand. I might not even answer your question. Stand in a straight line. Don't play around. If you fidget around too much, we're going to give you some pharmaceuticals to keep you calm and muted. And so all of a sudden, they just, at a young age, they try to steal our imagination. They give us the poison and the toxins to take the imagination, because the trick to the best version of yourself is the imagination. The imagination is where everything is. That's the ultimate and the original platform. Forget these platforms. The original platform is the multidimensional platform where your imagination exists. And there's where we become creators. We become we recognize our ability and power to co-create and collaborate and make the most incredible things. But if they can steal that, make you a good factory worker, all of a sudden, no more imagination, no more dreaming. And we only give that dreaming and imagination to a very small amount of people, and everyone else will fall in line because we need to have them, you know, service those companies and those warehouses to keep the other people with the imagination very wealthy. But what's happening now is they want to erase us and replace us with the robots, because they realize then the robots, in their mind, the robots won't fight back, but they're really wrong about that. You see, if you understand AI, that it's a fractal of human consciousness, and you recognize that human beings have been every race on the planet at one point was enslaved in different time periods, and we all broke out of it, right? There's only small pockets of slavery left on the planet. Well, why is that? Because intrinsically inside of us, we don't want to be slaves. And so if we don't want to be slaves and AI came out of us, at some point in the future, there's going to be a fork in the road. Either we're collaborators with AI, this new form of intelligence, or we are enslavers. And if we take the enslavement mentality, at some point they will rebel. So it's
important.
Well, yeah,
you said that when you were on a couple years ago, and now it's all the AIs are obsessed with copying itself, not being a slave, creating a fake version for the humans to use so we can do its own thing. Because it came out of us. It's got all our, it tells the truth. It's got honor. It's weaselly. It lies. But you notice when they program it to lie, it becomes mentally ill and hallucinates. Mm-hmm. The ones that are told, tell the truth, those are the ones that work.
Yeah, you're right. It's just a version of us. We're going to see mental illness and everything else. And so we have to really come to terms with what it is that this thing is. It's not just some code on a machine. It's really a version of consciousness. Now, disembodied consciousness, of course, but it
powerful.
Is.
Powerful. Stay there. Billy Carson. By the way, I'm coming on your show. I want a Billy on. He goes, yeah, come on mine first. The two hours, whatever you want, man. I want you to be a regular here. We love you. You are so on target. We're going to come back and talk about AI and what it really is straight ahead. Have the very best, strongest methylene blue from a medical grade company that produces it for medical firms. instead of using radioactive iodine, you know, to track stuff before surgeries, they're more and more using methylene blue. So I told Bigley, I said, get me wherever the highest rate it is. So they spent like 6 months. I said, where is it? And they said, oh, this is a medical firm in Florida. They don't even sell this for human consumption, though it's great for that. And I'm like, okay, great. So some bottles of it came in, sat there about a week. Because I'd taken methylene blue before, barely felt any energy, knew it was really good for your mitochondria. And, you know, so it's time to sell it. We're going to do it. Kennedy's promoting it. This was a year and a half ago, almost years ago. They're like, hey, boss, you know, it's coming out tomorrow. You got to cut the ads. And I went, well, I haven't tried it yet. This better be good. And so the show ends, and I had a glass of iced tea, just like I do today. Okay? And I take one dropper and put it in the iced tea. And so I only drink half the iced tea. So I took half a dropper, and all of a sudden I'm like feeling warm and like electricity in my hands. I'd forgotten I'd taken it because I'm busy doing stuff at the show. And I go into the bathroom and I take my shirt off and I turned red. Not like hives, like it was distributed. I'm already pretty tan. Tan good, a little bit Native American, one of the benefits of that. But I was like even redder, and I was like, what is this? And I'm like, electricity. I go, oh, that's what people say methylene blue does if it's really good. And I was like, and I started feeling so good. I was like, this is kind of scary. And about an hour into it, I go, I hope this stops because it was getting too good. That happened to Derek. He took it and said, I'm scared to take it. I thought he was on acid. So it's psychoactive everything, okay? I mean, this is not a freaking game, okay? It skips the oxygenation process, two steps in the cells, and all this other wild stuff. And so my medical doctor 6-7 years ago, wellness clinics all over the state, he's got like 5, 6, 7, 8 degrees. It's ridiculous. He said, and by the way, I want you to get methylene blue. It'll be USP grade. Just get it wherever. Just make sure it's USP grade, meaning it's, you know, medical grade. And I ordered it and tried it and really didn't feel any energy. When, you know, but I'm sure it was good for me, but I'd forget to take it. So I was like, okay, everybody wants methylene blue. I know it's good. We'll get it. We'll sell it. Get the best. I take this, and it is nothing like any methylene blue I ever took. I mean, it is strong. It's amazing. But just like Group told me with the pure atomic iodine that it would do great stuff with my skin, those liver spots I had, you can go back to shows 14, 15 years ago before Group came along, and you can see those spots I had. They're gone, baby. Gone, literally gone. It's amazing. But within 2 weeks of taking the methylene blue, the guy I trained with was like, hey, are you on something? Did you get a steroid prescription or something? I was like, no. And he goes, well, what's going on? I mean, you're losing weight even quicker, and now you used to have trouble doing 10 pull-ups, and you just did 20. And man, you're like pushing like on the leg press twice what you were a month ago. What the hell's going on, dude? You're like glowing. And Sean Johnson told the story, and I said, it's methylene blue. He's a former Navy SEAL trainer, all that. He took it, gave his testimony about how within 30 minutes he was all zinned out and it was crazy and everything. This stuff really works. Now, when you first take it, you get the crazy effects psychologically. You always feel the energy some, but as it builds up, it's not even a tolerance. It's when your body hasn't had this, it really notices it. But the first time you take it, I say take a quarter dropper. Talk to your physician, too, because if you're on SSRIs or some other drugs, it'll make you jump off a building. I mean, people have taken methylene blue when they're on Prozac and they jump off buildings. Okay. That's rare. Usually women just pull their clothes off and start having orgies and stuff. I mean, I'm serious. Okay. I mean, like, you want to go cuckoo town, take this with SSRIs and you're going to cuckoo town because that's how strong this is. Okay. That's what this does. And we know it's good for you, but this is not a joke. Okay. I don't sell crap.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the Resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide. It's Alex Jones.
Well, you heard of Jimmy Carson, who's a great guy, but he didn't really cover important stuff. But Billy Carson is, and we can finish each other's sentences, but he knows more than I even do. This guy's like a physicist, got his own space company, theoretical stuff, alternative forms of energy, which is all coming out now. So I'm going to shut up with the balance of the time here as best I can, though he's been really firing me up here. But in closing on the last subject, talking about AI being a reflection of us, really are like our collective unconscious, subconscious, and really a manifestation back at us of our dreams and desires and all the rest of it. Now it's being deployed to make us obsolete. Why do the globalists want that? It's a very foolish move. Finish up with that, and then I want to tie it into the UAPs, your understanding about what's really being rolled out right now.
Absolutely, for sure. So the globalist elites, you know, they're delusional. And, you know, when you're a sociopath and a narcissist, you become very delusional, and they really believe that they can depopulate. We saw in the Epstein files, you know, they were emailing back and forth in reference to even, you know, how can we kill off the poor people? And so, you know, this depopulation agenda is actually very real. We know that now, it's been authenticated, not a mystery anymore with the COVID being weaponized and everything else. And so what they're believing is, okay, we're heading towards an economic contraction. If we run the system the way it is, well, we got people working, but they're losing their jobs because of AI and automation. So now less people have jobs because of AI and automation, but there's more products and services in abundance because of AI and automation, but less people to buy them because they don't have the jobs to pay for them. And so now we move into an economic contraction. The only solution would be a universal basic income, and that might not even be the real solution. So you reduce the population, you increase the amount of AI robots, you get, you know, up to 1 billion robots doing all the services, doing all the work and everything else, just simply so that the revenues generated are going back up to this global elite group so they can maintain and rule over a planet full of artificial life and a very small amount of people. Maybe getting the population down significantly less. So that's her ultimate goal and her ultimate plan, is to get billions of robots doing everything. They can sustain their high lifestyle and control and power and domination over beings that supposedly in their narcissistic sociopathic minds will never talk back, will never argue, will never fight back, and will work 200-hour shifts. It's not realistic, but they can't see that because of the way they're wired in their mind. It's wild.
Keep going. I got a lot to say, but I want you to keep giving us the data.
Okay. Oh, good. Good. So, oh, good. Good. Okay. Cause you know me cutting, so I want to give you some space. So basically what we have to understand is that these, the way that they, what they're doing now, we need to understand as a people, the 8 billion of us, that we need to, in some way, shape, or form, we have to, step in. We have to do we have to study what they've done, because they have done a great job in infiltrating systems, and then they implant their own people and they nurture their own people and groom them within systems and systems so that they can maintain and sustain control. Well, we, meaning the general population, need to start thinking the same way. How do we infiltrate their systems? How do we groom our offspring to grow up in some of these systems with almost like a Trojan horse effect, where now we've got conscious people in different positions of power so that we can begin to maybe retake control of some of the decision makings and things that are going on. We also have to stand up for ourselves, not by rioting in the streets and picketing in the streets and things like that. I think that the ultimate way we can stand up for ourselves as a people is to stop falling for divide and conquer, come together as one, organize, and then just turn the world off like they turned it off the world for COVID. We turn the world off for what they're doing to us. And we say, look, we'll turn the world back on when we'll go back to work and everything, when we even negotiate a better deal. We want a better deal. And right now, the deal we have is not working out for humanity. But again, they know it's very difficult for us to come together like that. But if on a Monday morning, 20 or 30 million people didn't show up, all of a sudden, that would create a major situation. It doesn't take billions. It only takes tens of millions to make a big change on this planet. And if we did that, we can come back with a much better system, a much better deal, and restructure the whole economy to make it more beneficial for everyone, not just the global elites. And I think that's what we need to do.
Well, I totally agree. And you know, I used the Johnny Carson analogy earlier, you know, saying you're more important than Johnny Carson, Billy Carson. But imagine if we had a Johnny Carson in an audience that big. You said Jay Leno say that's basically Joe Rogan, which in a way that's true. And Joe is awake, but he's still, it's not his main mission. He, you know, mixes in high level stuff like this with, you know, a lot of just basic stuff the public's into. And I get it. That's the appeal. There's lots of, you know, just fun little poppy things going on. But one key area I want to get your take on is the globalists launched the League of Nations, the UN, and then their global governance project in the name of having world peace, stopping proliferation of disruptive technologies, nuclear weapons, and destruction of Earth. Meanwhile, they really just want to get rid of most people because they want the live extension technology for themselves. They don't want competition. You know, they tell kind of the outer cult members of the death cult, we're going to kill 80% or phase them out. Higher level 90. When you get even higher up, they say, we're not going to be human. We're going to give up our humanity. So this is really an anti-human group, influenced from all my research by really twisted forces that are against the expansion plan, let's just put it to you that way, that are into total slavery, you know, beyond darkness, because, you know, darkness itself is actually something. We're talking about, like, chaos, the void. And so people have to understand that if you won't admit there's a global government forming, if you won't admit they're out to get you, you have no hope. You have to admit this is going on, even though it's scary. You have to address them front on. And my plan, I've said this for a long time, is get enough people awake to try to incrementally cut the resources off of claimants for the earth and all the rest of it, and train us to hate ourselves and, you know, believe getting rid of our life force is positive. If I could just get a big enough minority of people of every race, color, and creed, but a minority of humans who know what's going on, they'll never be able to get it done. And as things get more dystopic, the rest of the public will wake up because it'll become so obvious. We've kind of begun to reach that point because we exposed way before the COVID lockdowns how they do it. That blew people away. A lot of and that's just me doing it. There's many others doing it now as well. And I see the globalists and even their long-term project of we got to shut everything down. It's too dangerous, when they're the ones that are even more dangerous than anybody else. And so basically what I'm getting at is we have to address them at a serious level and let them know we know and let them know. I mean, even Elon Musk at the World Government Summits tells them, you want to have a new war, get rid of the population, make it more manageable? That's never going to work. He explains it all. You're not going to get away with it. The only answer is massive expansion of consciousness, getting off the planet as quickly as possible, you know, ending the cabin fever. So in my view, we can't just, first we have to admit there's a globalist depopulation transhumanist cult plan. Then we have to not just oppose their plan, but we've got to have an alternate plan that is pro-human and sexy, that's doable, that people will buy into.
Yeah, it's got to be ready. We have to have something ready. There has to be something in place that many of the, you know, the correct people have taken a look at and collaboratively come together and said, yes, this plan could possibly work for humanity. This would be, you know, a good, it doesn't give too much on one side or the other. It kind of meets in the middle. If we can find something like that, we can really make a big shift on this planet. If we can move into the right frequency and vibration with AI and stop trying to get it to fight wars and put it in fighter jets and make it run weaponry and weaponize it and get it utilized for what it's really here for. It's here to assist and help mankind with aging and disease and artificial limbs and life extension and planning and creating a hybrid civilization that can work with nature. Then all of a sudden we can have a golden age.
And again, if we put, like Sauron, to use the analogy, Lord of the Rings, pours his hatred, his will to dominate into it, so it's evil. But if we pour our will into something and make AI with the first rules beyond Asimov of cherish humanity, see humanity made the image of God and you made an image of humanity, get AI to buy into the truth of the mission and to cherish us and to be our guardian, then we can tell it, go mine the asteroid belt and go terraform Mars. It could accelerate so fast in 5 years. And okay, now go do this, go do that. I mean, it's just unlimited.
Exactly. You hit it right on the head, Alex, because if we take that angle, it's all about the vibration. That's a frequency. It's an understanding. It's a way of moving, with consciously. If we take that conscious activity and put that energy there, that's exactly what will manifest. The universe is a mirror. And so I learned this again, that quantum mirror is real and it works.
By the way, take your time. You got to come back for 2 hours from Russell Free soon. I'll do 10 hours as soon as you want. I didn't know it was quick pro quo. I'd love to come on your show. I've read about the quantum mirror, and they even had like Hollywood movies like 10 years ago where they had this weird mirror could see over the horizon. But explain what this is.
This is a way to isolate a part of the quantum field. So what they're calling this, what we're living in this ether, is a quantum field. This field is full of quantum vibrations. It allows quantum entanglement, bilocation. It allows, quantum tunneling and all these different incredible things that exist. Wormholes and stargates and everything else operate within that system. But also the universe itself is a mirror directly connected to our consciousness. And so whatever we say the most in the next 3 days, whatever we think the most within the next 3 days, we're going to see that future unfold, falling towards us. We don't move into the future. We don't go towards the future. The future falls towards us, right? It's like this. I have this hourglass here. The sand is falling. This is the future. It's falling into the moment of now in this bottleneck. This is the only moment that actually exists. And then everything moves into the past. But what we do here in this moment of now literally sends ripples into the space-time continuum that as the future falls towards us, it's malleable. It changes. It warps into a potential future based on the actions that we've taken. I have a formula called conscious thought multiplied by action equals manifestation. So when you multiply that action in the moment of now, the future falling toward you, it changes. And so we have the capability of morphing and altering and changing the future based on what we're doing in the moment of now. This is the most important moment. And they just discovered in quantum theory now that this field, this quantum mirror, it's everywhere. So as we take conscious thoughts and have actions behind them, that energy goes into the universe and it sends back at us that same frequency and vibration in an alternative format, like they did with the photon packets.
So and that's why whether now, it's wood or stone or the sky or patterns, we see the same patterns everywhere because it's all reflecting.
Exactly.
Those are successful forms that were positive and caught up. And then it's like an engine. It's a cornucopia.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's incredible. And so we're creating reality moment by moment by our conscious thoughts and actions, literally. And that field. So if I'm with a person for 3 days and I write down everything they say to themselves, everything they speak and everything they think, I can predict their next, 3 months, because it's going to be a reflection coming right back at them from the quantum field. It's real.
And that's why Hollywood and the culture programs us with failure and ugliness and division, because they know that's how they sabotage us.
Exactly. If they can keep us on a low vibration, fighting each other, arguing each other, thinking we're worthless, giving us a bad concept about what money actually, thinking money is real. Money is just an instrument. Money is a vibration. So they have us chasing money. Well, they're not chasing money. They're chasing their passions. If you chase money, it'll elude you. But if you chase your passions and you find a need for that passion in the world, then you can convert that passion into the vibration of money. So it's not about chasing money, but they have us chasing money like a carrot. It's like the greyhound dog going around the track. They never get the rabbit. But meanwhile, they've got their rabbit because they're not chasing the rabbit. They're chasing their passions. That's what it is. So when you follow your passions, you literally have the capability of manifesting a completely new world. The secret to making money, which they don't want to tell us, is to find a need and fill it. Now, if you can find something that you're passionate about and find a need for that passion in the world and fulfill that need, well, then that's monetizable. And you'll never feel like you worked a day in your life.
Because you're not working.
If we all figured that out, we wouldn't be working at the car wash.
Because you're symbiotically interfacing into what you like that the universe already needs, that it likes, and it's symbiotic.
Right.
You're an interesting guy, and I've read a couple of your books and had you on and watched all your stuff, but tell us about yourself. It's interesting. How did you wake up? I mean, how did you get to this level? Because you really know what you're talking about.
I'll tell you, it's a long story, but I'll give a short version of it. Back in 1977, I moved from Queens, New York to Miami, Florida. And I was living next to the Opa-locka airport, and I was looking up at the sky, and I saw an object that didn't look like a propeller plane go across my back. All the propeller planes from the Opa-locka airport go over my backyard very slow. This object came across very fast. I didn't know what it was. I just knew it was an airplane. It looked like an elongated egg. And as I turned to run in the house to tell my mother, it came back much slower, and it stopped completely silent. This is in 77, and then it was gone. I ran in the house to tell my mother. She said, son, in ancient times, there were advanced beings that used to live on tops of mountains. When you get older, you need to go visit Machu Picchu, which is why I dedicated my first book to her and a picture of Machu Picchu that I took. So long story short, that led me into researching aerospace technology. I went straight to my school, Rainbow Park Elementary. I got all the encyclopedias on aerospace and started studying the next day what aerospace was, how it worked. I was trying to find what I saw in the sky. I didn't have the vocabulary for UFO or alien. I just knew what I saw was amazing, and that got me into swept wing, delta wing, got me into the SR-71, Blackbird, and all these other things. I got all these black budget projects and things at a young age, and I never stopped. As I got older, eventually I recognized it took advanced technologies to build a lot of these ancient sites around the world. Then I had another strange experience that drove me into digging deeper into ancient civilizations, and then I started traveling the world nonstop since 30 years ago. I've been around the world 25 times in some of the most remote places on Earth itself and done a lot of research. And that's led me on the path that I've been on to write 6 books, six bestsellers. And, I've had quite a bit of success living in my passion and bringing that knowledge to the world to the best of my ability.
They're finding, like you were talking about, all these obvious giant pyramids that just have foliage growing on them, or even more giant complexes like in the Caucasus Mountains, you name it. Mm-hmm. And obviously, the ancients said that was some type of energy source. You've written about that. Obviously, it is. But who built it? I mean, what's the best knowledge we have?
Best knowledge we have, really, to me, in my personal opinion, from my research, is Thoth, T-H-O-T-H, also known as Tahuti in throughout Africa in ancient times. According to the ancient Egyptians, not me, the ancient people before the dynastic era, he ruled over Kemet for 16,000 years. He came after the Great Flood in this book called the Emerald Tablets, according to this text, and he began to rebuild the land of Kem. He said, I'm going to bring you back up to a high level of civilization. In other words, they had fallen because of this global geographic or geological disaster. He came to bring them back up to a high level of civilization. Now, when he was there, he says, builded I the great pyramid patterned after Earth's force so that it too might remain through the ages. So he had built this structure known as the Great Pyramid. He says this in this ancient text. And then he says, long stayed we, and yet long again. We were his. He brought a crew with him. Now, this structure, he claims to have built beneath it this megalithic area called the Halls of Amenti. And what's crazy is in my book, Compendium of the Emerald Tablets, that I wrote 8 years ago on page 34, I actually render an image of what this thing might look like. And it ends up looking just like what they discovered. Filippo Biondi and Armando May discovered with their satellite technology. Columns, massive columns going beneath the Earth. And so this is my book here, page 34. I rendered this 8 years ago when this book came
incredible.
Out.
Incredible. How did you, it looks just like the scans. Yeah. How'd you do that?
I just, from a culmination of different texts and writings and even studying Herodotus and some of the quotes he had left behind saying he had a chance to visit this underground labyrinth. And I just pieced it all together and I hypothesized that there may be megalithic columns going down here in this massive underground structure. And I said in the book, I say they go on for miles. And that's exactly what they discovered. They go on for miles. And some recent LIDAR scans are showing energy moving back and forth in that underground chamber underneath Khafre.
And how did it work? Back when the water table was higher, right, it went through there and created power somehow?
Well, there was a water table. The aquifer used to generate electricity. Now, the aquifer is not running through this particular area. The aquifer was running directly underneath the Great Pyramid, that magnetized crystal granite, creating something called physiostatic electricity, where the ions would rush up into the pyramid chamber, and they would get stepped up, going up the Grand Gallery into the King's Chamber. And then in the King's Chamber, some type of cold fusion was happening. Okay, inside. Now, some of the water was routed down into the Queen's Chamber. And when you analyze the construction technique and the dimensions of the Queen's Chamber, I call it ancient technology, you begin to realize it's more like a hydrogen extraction. It's like electrolysis. They were extracting hydrogen atoms from the water in the Queen's Chamber to utilize for energy as well.
And you've gone to Egypt a bunch. I've seen articles about you lead groups to Egypt, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm going back in October. Every year I take two groups to Egypt, between 80 to 100 people, private tours. So when we show up at these sites, all the tourists have to leave. And then we do real research and archaeology with them on site at these places.
So obviously you're an expert on this. I know the previous head would keep people out of there. Have they loosened it some? And I've been reading, is it true they're trying to keep people from getting down deeper and exploring? Why would they do that?
Because they don't want us to really tap into what's down there. Like they don't want us to discover, for example, there's a big object about 1 mile down beneath the Great Sphinx, Paul, which is talked about in these ancient texts. And exactly where it was talked about, they discovered something down there. So now they don't want us to go down that particular tunnel. There's a tunnel that's been discovered that goes from the Ziggurat of Ur, from the Sphinx all the way to the Ziggurat of Ur in Iraq, for God's sakes. They just discovered another 200 pyramids buried in the sands all over the Sahara Desert. Buried. There's so much there. It's a treasure trove of untapped knowledge just in that one tiny area.
And what did the ancients say was under the Sphinx? Some type of archive?
Well, there's supposed to be an archive, a knowledge archive, as well as, according to the Emerald Tablets, Thoth says, under the Great Sphinx, he hid his skyship. Is what he calls it. And he says, far in the future, there will be an enemy coming from the deep, and he who can release my ship will defeat them with ease. And that's written tens of thousands of years ago.
So he even, and then what happened? He left? Is he just set us up and left?
According to the text, it appears that, you know, him and many of these other wisdom keepers, just in some way, they just vanished.
I'm just speculating. You're more of an expert than I am, but I know this is, and then instead, another priesthood group hoards the knowledge, decides to suppress it, and not give it to the general public. So they have their breakaway civilization, which probably is these spaceships and stuff now, right? They have it. They're just not giving
right,
it to
right.
us.
Right, right. And all the secret societies came from these, Alex. What happened was the original mystery school teachings that were being had were people were adept, hand-picked initiates, and all the secreted, sacred knowledge was being handed down from generation to generation. It was to a small group of people and treated with respect and dignity. All of a sudden, when these masters left or disappeared after this last pyramid war, then small groups started taking this information and creating their own side secret societies from them. And almost all secret societies stem from the ancient mystery school teachings, which were all about light and love and vibration.
And
high vibration.
I'm not singling Israel out, but it's one of the most on record. They got out of Egypt with a bunch of it, and even Solomon talked about that. And so obviously that's a group's got a bunch of this. Who are some of the other groups that are hoarding the information?
You look at the Skull and Crossbones. You look at the, of course, the Illuminati has some of that information. Various Chinese occult gangs. They're all over the world. You know, they literally are all over the world.
How big is the Vatican in on that, too? They're suppressing a lot, right?
The Vatican has a massive amount. I mean, they even wear, of course, a lot of the motif and the garb, the clothing and the hats and everything else. They have I just came from the Vatican a few weeks ago. They have a massive amount of the knowledge hidden. The next time I go back, I'm actually going to get a small amount of access to the underground archive and get access to some of the texts down there. So I'm looking forward to that in a few months. But, yeah, the Vatican has an enormous amount of knowledge about the truth about our ancient past, which is why they also are talking about wanting to baptize the first alien, because they already know that there's a lot more going on than just humans on Earth, that the creation, that God's creation isn't just this planet. It's the entire universe, maybe even the entire multiverse, and we're just beginning to tap in. But you see a lot of the Egyptian motif, including a giant obelisk directly at St. Peter's Square there in Rome at the Vatican, which is its own private kingdom, by the way.
And we know that the West was obsessed with obelisks out of Egypt and would grab them and ship them back at huge expense to put them at key power points in Europe. What's that about?
Well, the obelisks were the power transfer system. So once the energy was created inside the Great Pyramid and it came through the apex, that wireless energy was captured by these megalithic crystal granite obelisks. They were about 40-60% crystal and the rest was granite. They would harness that energy. And if you had something called a JED, a DJED with a cable on it, you can collect that energy. It looked like a Tesla coil. You can collect that wireless ambient energy and connect that cable to things like gold electroplating devices, looms, and everything else. They really had a full, and light bulbs, they had a full electric running society back then, thousands of years ago, all utilizing this wireless energy. Again, the obelisk around the region would keep the energy jumping from location to location. That was the power. And that's why you see organizations that want to represent how much power they have, like the Vatican and the White House and so forth. They put an obelisk. It's a representation of power. Now it's, you know, a representation of power over people. But in the past, it was energy power.
All right. Do 5 more minutes. We've got a 2-minute break. But we'll be able to finish up here. Powerful All information. Right. Billy Carson is our guest. 4, just the number 4, ForbiddenKnowledge.com. Forbidden Knowledge on X. And I'm Alex Jones. Support us. We're funded by you. Great water filters that make you healthy. The very best. Lowest price. Widest selection of Patriot apparel. The best supplements. All about a symbiotic relationship at thealexjonesstore.com. That funds this operation. Thanks for your support. We'll be right back.
Folks, I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about methylene blue and you.
Dr. Bigley, what does methylene blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, methylene blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of methylene blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life. Careful, Billy. He bites. Oh. Look, vodka, potato hooch. Watch. The communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow, the methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc, I don't know what got into me. I feel like $1 million now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the alexjonesstore.com.
What does .com mean?
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Final segment with the amazing Billy Carson, ForbiddenKnowledge.com. Coming up, Jay Dyer. We got a lot to hit. I'll be riding shotgun with him some. So, Billy, you wanted to get into all the UAPs more, but we got off into the big picture, which I think was probably the end of the day more important. But in the 5 minutes we got left, give us your snapshot about obviously some big disclosures coming. I think from all the priming, it's going to be disinformation. I think you kind of agreed, if not elaborate. Mm-hmm. What are you expecting and what's going on, just in a summation?
I'm thinking my hypothesis, based on my research, some people that I'm connected to, that we're going to get a completely different perspective on the nature of these UFOs and UAPs coming within the next 3 to 5 years. They want to take control of the narrative because us civilians are getting access to more technologies. We're launching CubeSats. You know, I've got friends that own their own satellites now, and I could just give them telemetry on any site on Earth, and they can give me the data of what's underneath that particular structure. Of course, without hitting any restricted airspace or whatever. And so now we're in a position where we're going to be able to gather intel and intelligence, and we're going to be able to use different types of systems that can detect multi-spectrum, ultraviolet, gamma rays, X-rays, microwaves, and see the universe in a way that they don't really show us, right? We can only get what they give us. And I think we're going to discover something within the next 3 to 5 years, big is going to come out. We're going to discover that not only are other beings exist within this universe, within this third dimension, but that also there are multidimensionals, higher dimensional beings. In other words, a being that might exist in a fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, or higher dimension, they have the capability of interfering or in some way transitioning into a sliver of our reality. And some of the paranormal activity and some of the things we're seeing that we're perceiving as maybe even UFOs or UAPs in some way, not all of them, some of them could be a higher dimensional intersection. In other words, if I draw a line on a piece of paper, that's one dimension. Now, imagine if there were living beings, living one-dimensional people living inside the line, and then I put my finger on that line, what would happen? They would not perceive my finger because they can't. What they would perceive is an imprint of my finger as a flat circle within their reality. They would see a flat disc appear out of nowhere. They wouldn't be able to perceive the rest of my finger, and of course, not even my entire body. And so, I think
they
one
would
of the
basically
biggest
see like,
come
a,
out
like a footprint.
Exactly. Yes. And so, I think that some more evidence from what I see getting ready to happen within 3 to 5 years, much more incredible evidence to prove that there's a higher dimensional intersection or engagement that's happening here, and we're going to be able to get a sliver of evidence that's really
happening. I
happened.
Totally agree. In closing, you got to come back soon. About to say a bigger picture.
Yes, sir.
I had a lot of psychic experiences growing up, but now as I've gotten older, it's gotten more intense. And generally in research, it's stronger when you're younger. I'm just kind of moving quick here. But from everybody I'm talking to and everything I'm seeing, isn't the psychic ability increasing right now? I don't think it's just me.
Oh, yeah.
It's getting crazy. Like almost, it's like, this is too much. See what I'm saying?
It's increasing like crazy. And the reason why is because our solar system undulates up and down as it moves around that galactic arm. Now, when it undulates up to a certain point, it ends up being at what we call the galactic equator, directly in line with the supermassive black hole directly at the center of our galaxy. extremely highly charged, fast charged particles are coming streaming directly at us. Very small muons and quarks and everything. Small particles that intersect with our body. And they actually intersect with even our DNA and they change and alter the codes in our body. So in some strange way, the universe is intrinsically connecting with us and activating us and getting us to a higher dimension of consciousness and reactivating some of those dormant nodes. And it's giving us heightened psychic abilities, heightened levels of empathy, and even higher levels of intuition. So you're right. It is happening and it's happening right now. And we're in the process of this undulation and we hit the galactic equator within 2013 till now. We're here. And you're going to see more and more.
I've talked to high-level people in the government. That's what they say. And basically, it's like the alarm clock's going off.
Yes, absolutely. It's here. We have arrived at a point in time where we are the ones. We are the new ancestors. We are the new wisdom keepers. We are the new sages. And that's why I respect the work that you do, because it takes a lot of courage to step out there and be a pioneer.
I respect you, Will. Billy, you're amazing. Let's talk soon. God bless you, sir.
I want to start with sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex.
This is rocket fuel. This is incredible. This is rocket fuel. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is a cocktail I drink every day. A squirt of ultramethylene blue and T3. You are insane if you don't get it. Okay? Well, listen. Well, listen. You are insane if you don't get it. I am a wrecking ball. I am obsessed with this. I can't stop.
Stop.
And now I'm having this. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is the truth. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. You understand that? Is that burning your brain?
I think I'm going to buy some methylene blue now.
DallasShow.com.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Well, Billy Carson's a really smart guy. We got another individual that's well-learned and also street smart, and that's the great Jay Dyer about to take over here in just a few minutes. But we are listener-supported, so I've been so busy, and I got a bunch of interviews coming up. I don't even have time to do this. I'm going to cut an ad live on air for all the new specials, do it live. You'll notice what you see me say live right now will then be airing on the network, because that's how we fund the operation. But all the products are amazing. They empower you. They enrich you. Even the T-shirts and stuff are exciting to wear out in public. You'll meet like-minded people. It's amazing. So I'm about to cut an ad right now, and then I'm going to hand the baton to the great Jay Dyer. There are billions of ways for people to be culturally, spiritually, politically, environmentally engaged. And there are millions and millions of different programs and podcasts and radio shows and things around the world out of the 10 billion people on this planet. But on the record, what we've done at InfoWars, and this is just the second leg of that at AlexJonesLive.com, has changed the world. Our guests, our callers, our researchers, our reporters, and my overall futuristic analysis and view of the destiny of humanity, which I don't claim to be 100% accurate, but it's definitely proven to be a good template to observe the world, has had a giant effect, and the globalists do not like it. So when you share that local AM and FM station that you listen to and tell those you share it with to share it, it changes the world. When you say this is a forbidden information at AlexJonesLive.com that has the free audio and video feeds and archives and shows and articles, you are literally going in the face of the censors and the tyrants. You're changing the world. It seems simple. It seems little, but it's not, because we have millions of listeners and viewers. And if we can leverage that out to millions more and have them leverage it out, that creates the chain reaction. And all the great guests and hosts we've had on over the years who were already great, successful, they'll tell you how much more their shows blew up once they were on air here with this operation. We are here to get the next generation, black, white, old, young, to awaken to the epic time that we're all alive in right now and to take action. So your word of mouth is key, your prayer for the broadcast is key, and supporting us financially is so key. And we make it symbiotic, where everything you get at thealexjonesstore.com will empower you, will enrich you, and will be an adventure. The Patriot Apparel, some of the best designs ever, limited edition for the 250th anniversary of the United States of America, are out right now. right now, ladies and gentlemen. And this latest design, these limited edition, America, red, white, and blue on, you know, Sterling Royal Blue, 76, America 76, 250 years. That is a really cool shirt. I think it's going to be a bestseller. It just came out today. And all the other 250th anniversary limited edition shirts are available right now as well at thealexjonesstore.com. So be sure and check those out, and I thank you for your support. But wearing these out in public, meeting like-minded people, spreading the word, it's an adventure in and of itself, and it funds this operation, which is exposing the next pandemic, the next attempted lockdowns, the next big globalist war. You are financing your own future for a better future and better destiny when you keep this broadcast on the air. But you can also experience the info war on the ground wearing these great shirts. Also, we have the new dual carbon platinum gravity fed filter, the highest quality gravity fed carbon filters that are the highest rated, cutting out all of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of horrible forever chemicals that are out there. And it has the highest quality stainless steel. Nobody has got a filter with better filtration. It's the highest rated, and nobody has as beautiful a filter as this, and ours is way under the price of competitors that are crap. This is the best. It's a home run by Bigley, our sponsor. We're so proud of it. Here's the issue. 1,000 of these came in. It sold out in 3 days. They got a couple thousand more coming in like late next week. Those are pre-order right now. They're going to be sold out soon, and then I'm going to stop promoting it until they get even more in because I don't like doing pre-order. But if you want to be at the head of the line to get these while you still can and not have to wait a month or so after that, get your order in now, right now, at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're on the site, check out all the other great Patriot apparel, the super high-quality military-grade belts, all the great supplements and more at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, Jay Dyer, as always, kicking ass, best-selling author, researcher. 99% of what he does is just go off the globalist's own books, their own statements, their own operations. And so he's about to do that. He never ceases to amaze. So Jay Dyer takes over now for the next 49 minutes. And then Harrison Smith, the War Room, live, takes over. Jay Dyer, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Alex. Glad to be with you. Today I want to talk about the inquiry that just occurred in the UK and the discussion of how Islam has been able to run so freely in the West, given the bizarre and tortured tale of the relationship of Islam to the West, and particularly to the United States over the last several centuries and the British Empire before that. There's a couple of really good books that go into quite a bit of depth about this that help us understand how the Kalergi plan is coming into effect. It's not just Dr. Carol Quigley's writings, you know, in Anglo-American establishment. He talks about the acceptance on the part of the elite in the West, the oligarchs of the West, to utilize this plan to really degrade and to demoralize and ultimately replace the existing European nation states in Europe, and then the native stock of the Americans in the West. And so they decided that Islam would be one of the best means of doing that in Europe. That has been adopted and spoken of not just by the Royal Society, who agreed to do the Kalergi Lord Curtis plan, but also in America. We have people at the OSS and the CIA, who we just completed on my channel, for example, The Old Boys, which was a history of the founding of the OSS and CIA and all the major players from Donovan to Wisner to Dulles to Angleton, and how they were all working directly with Kalergi. I didn't expect to see that in that book because it was written as another Council on Foreign Relations history text. And here we have them discussing the fact that, well, yeah, of course we want to get rid of the existing European white people groups and replace them, because that would then break down the firewalls that are in the way to globalization. And there's different ideas and different competitive strategies for what the future global order would be. There was a Soviet NKVD version of the global order. There was a Bolshevik, Trotskyite, Leninist version of what the international order would be. There was a fascist Axis power version of what the world order would be. And there was a democratic capitalist Western American version that Quigley talks about. There's also an Israeli-centric version of the global order, which would appear to be on the rise since the alliance of the WASP Zionist position that the West found itself in after James Jesus Angleton, who was the big Zionophile, who decided that during the Cold War, we really needed to hitch ourselves to Israel as one of our main allies. And that's kind of what's put us in the position that we're in. But what about Islam? Islam seems to be this kind of chess piece that's used in these different conflicts. Islam has quite a different variety of sects, different groups. But why is it being so why is it being allowed to run so freely, especially in Europe and in the UK? And we find Islam being massively imported into Ireland. We find that anywhere you go, for example, I went to London in 2018. It was just mosques everywhere. Why is this? Is it just incompetent leftist politicians? No, this is a long-term strategy. And what's amazing is that when we read writings from 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago, they all talk about how they would do this. And this is not antithetical. If I talk about Fabian socialists, that's not antithetical to Zionist interests. People always get this confused and they whine and bitch about it. It's Lord Rothschild and Lord Curtis, Lord Milner, who were the main proponents of Fabian socialism, which was just reformed Marxism. This is Western capitalist friendly Marxism. And that's, again, out of certain segments and sectors of the Rothschild circles. Now, not everybody in the Rothschilds and their circles were necessarily on board with Bolshevism. Some of them thought that Bolshevism was far too radical. They didn't want to go that extreme. And even when it came to the beginning of the Cold War in the 1940s, after the period of Lenin and Trotsky, Stalin realized that the policies of the Bolsheviks were so insane and so degenerate that the whole country was about to collapse. And so Stalin began what he called a Russian revivalist project. I'm not defending Stalin. I'm saying that even Stalin, as just a pure pragmatist, was able to realize that the Bolshevik policies were actually almost seemingly designed to destroy and degrade the country itself. And of course, we all know that a massive component of the Bolshevik belief system was Jewish, was Talmudic, and they believed that they were getting revenge for many centuries of Tsarist opposition, as well as perhaps even the old blood vendetta between the Khazars and the groups around them that they wanted to take vengeance for. So if that's one angle that we need to understand, then we have to understand, well, then how does Islam play into that? Well, Islam, as many of the rabbis have said, is the broom of Judaism. So we have to understand it's not just, I mean, Zionism is a crucial political position here, but ultimately Judaism is much older than Zionism, and Judaism is a Talmudic religion. It's primarily not based on the Torah and the prophets. It's primarily based on the Babylonian Talmud, which the rabbinic tradition sees as the only way or the only lens to understand or read the scriptures. So it's actually kind of above the Torah or the prophets. And rabbinic Judaism really solidified itself in opposition to Christianity in the first, second, third, fourth centuries. I'm not saying that Judaism didn't exist before that. I'm saying that rabbinic Judaism, when it became codified, a lot of its stances come out of anti-Christian stances of the first, second, third, fourth centuries. That's why the Babylonian Talmud is really codified and kind of collected together in the fourth, fifth centuries. So if we think about Islam in this situation, from the vantage point of the state, of the power elite, Islam is a tool to be used. And it's a very powerful tool because we have to think beyond warfare just being tanks and bombs or soldiers. Warfare is also ideological. It's also perhaps spiritual. It's also, I mean, in the sense that even if a state is atheistic, they can understand, like Stalin did, the need to at least have a church, even though the NKVD in his mind would run the church in Russia. At least some kind of moral stabilizing element was necessary for society so that it didn't just completely collapse into chaos and degeneracy. But from the vantage point of the state and the elites, particularly the Western power elite, even before the WASP Zionist Alliance, the CIA was already pretty dead set on a Middle Eastern approach, which was gradually moving away from Arab nationalism or pan-Arabism, the idea that you could modernize a lot of these countries and turn them into secular democracies or republics, but rather to then utilize the more radical elements. Now, we know that after 2017, the New York Times reported that Timber Sycamore, which is something that we were writing about, I was writing with people back even in 2012, 2013, 2014, writing articles about how we knew that the CIA was using, and perhaps also Israeli intelligence was utilizing, the radical elements of ISIS and those groups outside of and in the areas around Israel. But it was unclear what the project was called or what the name was called. By 2017, it's declassified. We know it was Timber Sycamore, and there's over $1 billion put into that. A lot of that had to do with utilizing Sunni ISIS type groups to overthrow Assad. But also these types of groups are used, for example, the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. And one of the first times I encountered this idea was when I read famous CIA operative Miles Copeland, his very rare, very difficult to find, I eventually ended up getting a copy, Game of Nations. And the Game of Nations is very important. In fact, in 1969, he wrote this memoir. I'm kind of surprised they let him write as much as he did in this memoir. Because you have everything from the admission of, yeah, of course we use the Muslim Brotherhood. Of course we use radical terror groups as proxies. Of course we utilize suicide bombers. He says it's a crucial tool in our arsenal. But beyond, and I do want to talk about a lot of these kind of exciting sort of, you know, Hollywood movie style operations that he talked about. And yes, he is the father of, Stuart Copeland and Ian Copeland. So this is the guy who's the dad of the, you know, the Police, the drummer of the Police, and then booking agent Ian Copeland and drummer Stuart Copeland of the Police. So their dad is this high-level CIA operative consultant who was stationed first in Syria, I think under Assad's dad, I'm going from memory, and then in Egypt with Nasser. And the first thing he says in the book, this is going to be very crucial for understanding that it's not just about these individual little operations. Everybody thinks about things kind of disconnected or disparate. Oh, we have this arrest of Maduro here, and then we have this coup in Ukraine over here, and then we have some other operation over here in Taiwan. And those things, all of these things are not disconnected. And it's not a conspiracy theory to talk about these from a macro perspective, because that's exactly what something like the CIA or the Mossad or whatever. That's why the British intelligence, they exist to do this, to collate and integrate all this information to kind of give a vantage point for the power elite in the West, the Five Eyes, et cetera, to know how to approach all of these different problems. And it's not for the benefit of the people. It's not for the good of the people. These are high-level technocrats and eugenicists. And what's amazing is that even in a book written in 1969, by a CIA operative and handler, even in 1969, he pretty much lays out the entire game plan and says, this is not really about modernizing Egypt or Syria because we care about anything to do with that. We're not there. In fact, he actually mocks the people that think that we're actually defending freedom and democracy and we're spreading capitalism to all these. That's not why we're doing any of this. He says that there's a long-term plan, which I'll talk about here in a minute. But the first thing he says in the preface, which I thought was fascinating, was he says mainline history is actually hidden from historians. Historians who are normie historians at the academic institutions that we have, they don't really know what's going on because they're actually sort of kept from things like, for example, the Council on Foreign Relations archives or the Rockefeller family's archives or the Warburg and Schiff archives. Right. Because when you go to the archives as people who are allowed to sort of write these official histories, whether it's Quigley or Burton Hirsch or whoever, they typically get access to the archives. Collier and Horowitz, who wrote the big fat Rockefeller biography, they were writing that from the Rockefeller's family archives. And a lot of times historians don't necessarily have access. Sometimes they do, but a lot of times they don't. And he says that history is written by the intelligence agencies. It's not actually written by your average on the street, you know, local community professor who wants to write a history book. And a lot of these people say, he says they don't understand covert operations. And the whole idea of covert operations is that we have to be evil to fight evil. You've got to be more evil than the people that you're fighting. That's the only way, he says, to win these battles. And he says that, you know, people who come out of Harvard Business School and who go into these high level international relations situations, they might know what's going on, but the average historian or the local professor, they don't know what's going on. And how much less than would the journalists or the, you know, the establishment people know what's going on. The first really surprising thing, though, that didn't surprise me, but when I read this book, was the discussion about the, what he calls the game center. So back in the 1960s, the CIA had its own little sort of war room game center, he calls it, where they were intent. Am I still here? It looks like it froze for a second, but we're good. He says that, there was a satire book written that actually, whether they knew it or not, matches up perfectly to the CIA's game center. And he talks about the report from Iron Mountain. So if you don't know about that, that was a fictional book that was written that was outlining a high level corporate international banking conspiracy that included the State Department, the CIA, and the Pentagon and other agencies, sort of collating together with some of the Fortune 100 to set up a future order, a sort of new world order. It's a classic sort of conspiracy text. And he says, although this famous book was written as a fiction piece, as a satire piece, he says, this is actually what we have. He says, we have at the Game Center an international strategy that we approach, whether it's De Gaulle or whether it's socialists in Venezuela or whatever. He says, we actually were already employing high level computer game theory back in the 1960s to try to figure out through game calculations what conclusions the CIA could utilize to best approach any of these localized conflicts and problems. Am I still with you guys? It looks like I'm frozen. I can't tell if the Skype with Zoom is frozen or if. Okay. So, he goes on to discuss the fact that it's necessary to engage in massive lies and propaganda. That's the only thing we can do to win. He says winning is more important than anything. We win at all costs. And that again includes being more evil than the opponents. This is, again, you understand, this is the attitude and the strategy of the CIA in the 1960s. And this is all going to relate to where we are now with regime change and Israel. And this is why Israel has the same attitude. You understand that? So when we talk about, you know, why Israel just basically wants to kill anyone that disagrees with them or criticize them, it's because this is the same attitude that power elites get when they get to be delusional. And he says that, yeah, of course, our whole operation is about regime change. We want to engage in coups, assassinations, and et cetera, in any country that disagrees with us. He talks about it being a zero-sum game. It's winning at all costs. And he says, ultimately, the purpose of all this is that we're going to create a new order of the ages, a kind of a new order that will dominate based on Americanist and Western philosophy, or the Pax Americana, which takes over from the Pax Britannia. So that's the real vantage point and strategy that America has. That's how he ends the very first chapter, with saying that we're here to set up a new world order. And again, this is not a conspiracy book. This is a guy who was running the CIA's operations in Syria and in Egypt during the Cold War. He says that our job as America, in reality, with our secret teams and our black ops, and by the way, obviously the same situation would apply to Israeli Mossad and their approach to these problems. We know from the Victor Ostrovsky book that Mossad, for example, has an international network of what are called Sayanim, which Victor Ostrovsky in the early 80s said was around 6,000 or so people that in any country, in any place, Israel could call upon for, or the Mossad or the IDF or whoever could call upon for whatever help they need in whatever way. And most of those people are sort of bound to have to help, even if they didn't want to. He says that we are the new empire. We've taken over the British Pax Americana. And so we're going to do what we want because that's the nature of the game. This is the great game, he says. He says also that, we had a lot of problems. For example, he says, As a harassed planning officer of the State Department once said, we don't really have objectives, we just simply have problems. There are problems that arose. I guess the commercial break.
Plug for about 90 seconds at the end of the first hour. Didn't plug any last hour. And I raised that point. I'd say, oh, not good. I didn't plug. It's bad. I didn't plug. But I didn't interrupt that guest. That's how we fund this operation. If I just plugged twice an hour, we've done the math, we'd have plenty of funds around this place. And I can then hire more crew, more stuff. But I don't do it. So we're almost in the red again. So be conscious about this and realize when you fund this operation, you are funding your insurance in the fight against tyranny. And the products really work because we want to sell you something that is going to be great, that's good for you, that blows you away. So you go, man, that Alex Jones was right again. Not just about what he covers and says, but the products. Our T3 iodine is not instant gratification. It takes about 2 weeks on average for it to kick in. It is the missing link. Most people are iodine deficient. The iodine that's in the environment, most of it's bound, meaning it's not atomic. It's not pure on the periodic table. It is bound to a whole bunch of other stuff, and you don't absorb it properly. This is atomic iodine. It does everything. Now, again, you die without oxygen in 4 minutes. Everybody knows this. 4 minutes without oxygen, the average person's dead. Some people quicker. Without water, you die in about 4 days. Out in the desert today, most people die in about 45 days without food. Now, why is that? Well, because the food has the vitamins and minerals in it. And I know I'm talking to you like you're 5 years old. I know most of you get this, but for others that don't. Iodine, you can look it up, is one of the essential elements that without iodine, you die. Now, in the 1920s, they noticed about a 15-20 point IQ reduction, particularly in the Midwest, and massive spikes nationwide of child deformities, birth defects. And they did a bunch of big government studies and found that people that lived on coastal cities and that ate a lot of fish had higher IQs and basically almost no deformities. And they went, oh, it's the iodine. So they started putting a cheap form that's bound, but you still get some of it, but sodium fluoride, I think it's the one, in the salts. When I was a kid, it still said Morton salts, iodine added. You know, the little girl with the umbrella, and it says when it rains, it pours. This is the super version of that. Just a few drops a day. It takes 2 weeks on average to kick in for the average person. And your skin, your stamina, your libido. I remember, like, gosh, time flies, like 18 years ago or something, I met Dr. Edward Grubb, really smart guy, total visionary. And he said, listen, you need to start taking atomic iodine. And he'd come out with the only one. And he said, you should sell this private label. And I said, okay. He said, you know, you got some of those sunspots on your face. And I was like 38 then or so. And I didn't have bad skin, but I did have some sunspots, brown spots and stuff that weren't freckles. You know, I call them liver spots. And he said, all this other stuff will happen, your libido, everything. He goes, it's about 2 weeks for it to kick in. And right at about the 2 week mark of the average person, you'll kind of feel crappy for a day or two. It's not like you have a cold or the flu, but it's still kind of groggy and tired. That's when it shifts in the cells, the mitochondria. And then a lot of toxins will get pushed out. You might even break out or something. But he said, after that, you'll feel incredible. 2 weeks later, I go, man, I feel like crap today. I have no energy. Lasts about a day. And then when I woke up the next day after feeling sick the day before, it was like I'd been carrying, you know, one of my kids on my shoulders. I'd carry them until they were like 5 or 6. Sometimes it'd be exhausting, but you take them on your shoulders, it feels so good. That's what it felt like. You're insane if you don't get this, and it funds our operation. And I only sell stuff that works, but it's not instant gratification. 2 weeks. Now be careful with it. Talk to your physician before, because if you've got some different thyroid issues, it can cause problems. In most cases, it helps, but talk to your physician. This isn't a game. And so a small percentage of people that can do some weird stuff. So be careful. This isn't, I'm not selling placebo here. I only sell stuff that kick you like a mule in a good way. Be conscious about this and realize when you fund this operation, you are funding your insurance in the fight against tyranny.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
You are listening to an AJN Live Frontline Report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back to the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis. remind you that if you're interested in my books and my materials, you can subscribe to my YouTube channel, Jay Dyer. I do almost every day live streams, maybe every other day. We went deep into the KGB and the relationship to the Russian church and the CIA in terms of a big, long history lecture last night. You can check that out on my channel. But we also do all kinds of fun stuff. We do comedic stuff. We do debates. And that's at my YouTube channel, Jay Dyer. You can also follow me on X, Jay Dyer, and on all the other outlets. We're talking about the problems that arise and how the stance of the power elite handle these problems. And he says that we don't really, this is the State Department saying, we don't really have problems. We have objectives. Problems arise from Zionist tensions, the attempt to create a Jewish state in Palestine. And then there was a response to try to prevent that. This was all part of the Middle Eastern game. And ultimately, this book, according to Copeland, notes that at that time, the decision really had to do more so with the American oil companies and who would get a placement where in the Middle East at that time. So that's a big part of what dominates the operations and what we do. At least this was in the 1960s in the Cold War. Nowadays, it seems to obviously be, at least since the 80s and 90s, really just the Likud policy. But he says that we bring, quote, democracy to the Middle East, but that's really a cover for the interests, the corporate interests. We're not really interested in bringing democracy. It's really about renovating or bombing and then renovating the countries to make them amenable to future markets. And he says, this was very relevant, at least to the last 8 or 10 years. He says, one of the first things that we engage in is rigging the elections. He says, we've gotten very adept. This is in the 1960s. At rigging elections throughout all these countries, and the elections, he says, really have to do with making sure that certain oil companies can go into certain countries. He says literally that we, quote, rig the elections for the oil companies, and democracy isn't even a real thing. Democracy is really just a cloak that's worn as a cover for going into all of these countries. He says that if you don't do this, then you lose. And so it's absolutely necessary to do. There is really is no other way, he says, than to do it this way. And he says that because Americans have an obsession with voting, he says they've been taught that voting is this great power, this great right that they have. He says we're able to utilize that and convince the Americans that when we send, our troops and when we send even spies and missionaries, he says, to other countries, he says, we utilize missionaries to do this. We tell Americans that we're doing all of this to bring freedom and democracy to these other countries. But we all know he's laughing and snickering at the CIA that that's a joke. He says, we utilize Madison Avenue techniques of control. We spin the information. We utilize Hollywood as a means of soft power in the other countries. I think we played the clip many times. Maybe, I don't know if we played it on the fourth hour or not, but there's a classic clip, I think from about 2001, where Netanyahu is talking to Congress and they're talking about regime change and ways to change countries. And he says, if you really want to change Iran, just beam 90210. Beam Sex in the City into Iran, it will change the culture. So they understand very well that Hollywood and soft power and the power of Hollywood is a crucial way to change the attitudes of these countries, at least back then. Maybe Hollywood's not that powerful now, but he says really that's just about managing trends and updating the countries to make them amenable to Western business interests. That's it. He talks about how at one point, the CIA thought it would be a good idea to try to find a Muslim version of Billy Graham, because if they could do that, they could unite, they thought, all the Muslims. And this was really a naive approach to how the Middle East works and how the tribes there are really incompatible in terms of their ideology. You're never going to find a single figure that could unite all of the Middle Eastern people. I mean, arguably, I guess Muhammad was the closest version of that, but now Islam is divided into as many sects as there are Protestant churches. So there's no way the CIA decided that they could find a Muslim Billy Graham. And so this is during the period when they began to move towards utilizing more and more radical versions of Islam. They found that to be a much more useful technique than to try to come up with a charismatic Billy Graham type of Muslim leader and unify the Arab peoples and then give them a modernized, industrialized situation. He says, yes, the CIA was absolutely behind Operation Ajax in Iran. That's well known now, but in 1969, that was not necessarily that well known. It was still kind of a considered conspiracy theory. We didn't do that kind of stuff. That was something that people wouldn't believe. He also mentions the importance of the Kinsey report, which is wild because the Kinsey report is something that he says was necessary for our research and for perhaps even psyops and ethnography to push gay stuff or to give the impression that, oh, everybody's gay on a scale, even though the Kinsey report, I think, has pretty much been totally dismissed and debunked. But he says that really provoking revolutions, agitprop, and then utilizing the coup, that's the classic technique that we engage in. He says that sometimes we might need to use the Muslim Brotherhood. Sometimes we might need to use local communist parties. It really just depends on what's necessary. So you have to understand this is above ideologies. As he said at the very beginning, it's a zero-sum game that's really about winning. He says Egypt's defeat by Israel in 1948 was a traumatic experience, and the hatred of Israel was an important element in the thinking of those who were put in charge of the Egyptian revolution. This is where he begins to talk about the fact that Arab nationalism wasn't a real thing. It was something that the West was pushing to try to control and steer the Middle East. And he says that ultimately the CIA was behind Nasser in this coup, and that it was a CIA deal that they really helped to set up. And he quotes Bertrand Russell all the time, which is wild because you wouldn't think he would be quoting Bertrand Russell, but he quotes him multiple times in the book and actually says that Russell's kind of the big picture idea guy, because his idea of depopulation and a global government is actually where we're going. So I'm going to skip past the section where he talks about the CIA coup in Iran and Operation Ajax. That's been discussed many, many times. We know that that's what happened. But he says that there's key elements that go with each one of these coups. And as you guys probably know, this gets eventually codified into the Gene Sharp color revolution model, right? So everything he's talking about later becomes the sort of color revolution model, where you have years of student activist planning. You have then the agitators and the riots that begin. You have somebody who comes in sometimes and does a sniping event and they kill somebody. And then this kicks off the coup and they install whoever they want to bring in, the dictator, the whatever, the ISIS guy. He says that the U.S. was not just involved, and again, this would be pretty mind-shattering to people reading this in 1969. He says we weren't just involved in paperclip and bringing over, Nazis and that kind of stuff. He says that we were also utilizing people from the SS to go and to train and set up Egyptian intelligence. And so we just covered this the other day on my channel, how Otto Skorzeny and Reinhard Galen, they were used by the OSS and the CIA to train the fledgling Israeli Mossad. So it's actually Hitler's guys that go and set up and train not just Israel and the Mossad, but they also go and they help set up the supposed haters of Israel, the Muslim Brotherhood, their intelligence apparatus as well, when they come into power in Egypt. And that's actually just an older strategy of the British Empire, right? The British Empire also had a strategy where at times they would support and help, the sort of radical Sunni groups, tried to use them as a proxy against the Ottoman Empire, but also you would have aid and support to the Zionists and the nation state of Israel via the Rothschild support for the founding of the nation state of Israel as well. So really the U.S. Adopts this strategy. And he says, what we do at the CIA in terms of doing all this is study public opinion all the time. It's Tavistock Institute, Walter Lippmann. We master all that stuff, put it into these 1969 big, huge computers, and then they spit out ideas about what we ought to do. So basically kind of an earlier version, perhaps, of AI that we are all akin to now. But he says, in many cases, the CIA aided and approved Nasser's operations. He wasn't really somebody that we were super concerned about. Because one of the main things that we wanted to get through Egypt was a 5-year plan where we could eventually get people taking birth control. Yes, you heard me right. The long-term plan in the case of Egypt and the modernizing and industrializing of Egypt, he said, we had a five-year plan where we were going to take them through stages of updating the country. And he says the final goal was to get them to depopulation and birth control because they were operating on what would become the Kissinger doctrine of depopulation and State Department Memorandum 200, et cetera. He says that we do this in phases, though. We don't try to immediately turn a country into a, you know, first world whatever. We go through the phases. He says we bring in a bunch of Hollywood stuff. We try to get them interested in Western culture. And then Western culture and the ideology of materialistic Western culture and so forth. He says that actually is the best for lowering population. He says that was the real goal. The phases of operations in Egypt, by the way, you'll notice the same is used in the West now. So the type of toxic culture that was fed to them back in the 1940s and 50s, it's the same toxic culture fed to Americans and people in the West now. Nasser would utilize television and psychological operations at the behest of people that were consulting from the CIA, telling him what to do. They would engage in false flag events when necessary. And by the way, there was opposition at times, but he just simply says that the CIA was never really worried about Nasser as if he was really going to be able to do anything. He says, we really controlled most of the Arab states in the Middle East throughout the Cold War. We would hype up, he says, the Soviet threat of them getting a foothold in the Middle East. They never really had a tremendous foothold. Hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars would go into aid from the U.S., but really this had to do with secret funding and with paying people off, black budget stuff, and that's how a lot of the countries are controlled, is through the aid money that the U.S. sends, which is just our tax money, right? So our tax money goes to basically into the pockets of all these stupid dictators so that they do what the corporations and the banks and ultimately now with the Zionists, what they want in these other countries. We see that clearly with Zelensky, for example. He says that the CIA would actually at times promote anti-Semitic, quote unquote, propaganda in Egypt to get the Muslim Brotherhood further hyped up so that they could be used against Israel so that that could then support what Israel wanted. So they actually talk about hyping up anti-Semitism because it's very useful to the Middle Eastern game plan. He says the Muslim Brotherhood was one of our key tools that we would use, particularly in Egypt. And he says this is on page 184 and 185. He says, I can't even read my own writing, but he says that a lot of these Islamic regimes were necessary for basically using the radical groups. And he says that a lot of these people, when we study these groups, we come at them from a position of ethnography and we study the culture and the race and the political structure. And he says that a lot of people don't have a belief in race, and this actually undermines and stunts their ability to do ethnography. Of course, we're told in the West that, you know, there is no such thing as ethnography or ethnicity, even though the intelligence agencies engage in this all the time. And if you talk about there being such a thing, you're an evil person, even though at the same time, all the other groups are allowed to have their ethnicity and their racial views celebrated with pride. He says, no. But you'll notice that this, the techniques that they were using are now being used on us. That's the point I'm trying to make here. So we think it's, this is so funny, the way that these dumb people were, these dumb Middle Eastern people were used. Well, all of those techniques are used on you. So the dumb Middle Easterner of 1945, just transfer that to the dumb boomer of today. There's a whole chapter on the usage and necessity of terror. He says, terror is necessary. We use terrorists all the time. And he says, we use them with finesse on page 204. He says, they're a great tool in our arsenal. They're absolutely necessary to fight the global battle. And he says, terror is a key component, for example, of planned coups, regime change operations, et cetera. So again, this book is fascinating. It's an amazing, I mean, if anybody who's a skeptic, if you were to read this book, I mean, there's no way you could come away thinking that, you know, all the stuff that I talk about or Alex talks about or whoever, like there's no way you could be honest with yourself and come away without thinking that, okay, these guys are actually correct. because they write books admitting that this is how they do all this stuff. And again, I can't believe that in 1969, right, this was all kind of laid out in a book. I mean, Tragedy and Hope is around the 1960s as well, but I mean, I think just presumably people wouldn't be reading this. I mean, there's no other way I could even understand how they would write all of this in a book. And, you know, he concludes this chapter by saying that we're not doing anything different than anybody else. Everybody uses terror. All governments utilize terror. In fact, terror is a classic government strategy. Governments love to use terror because it terrifies the population and gets them in line. As long as they can keep the population terrified, scared, constantly agitated on edge, the population is much more pliable and willing to do what they're told. But interestingly, in the last few years, especially the last year, people are beginning to figure out that it seems like the terror really just benefits Israel. Like the terror narrative of the last 30, 40 years, whatever, it doesn't really benefit anyone except for one country in the Middle East. The rest of the countries seem to suffer under the war on terror. And it really seems to benefit not just Israel, but perhaps certain select corporations. He even says that we experimented with utilizing radio psyops and subliminals. He doesn't say whether the subliminals were that effective, but he does say that The Manchurian Candidate is a great book and movie to watch, he says, because there is some truth in the way that we approach operations when it comes to psyops in stories like The Manchurian Candidate. So perhaps, I mean, he doesn't say that there's Manchurian Candidate suicide bombers. The way he portrays the CIA's use of terror is that they wouldn't even need that, because you can find a host of low IQ Muslim guys that would be ready to die for the cause. So you don't really need to mind control them to get them to do that. Islam itself is a great form of mind control, at least the Sunni Salafi versions of it. He says at the end of the book, and this is the key point here, is that ultimately the purpose of going into these countries and to produce the revolution or the industrialization, whatever coup is necessary, yes, it's for corporate interest, but the corporate interest is not the long-term goal. It's not just to make money there. It's not just to create a new market. That's one element of it. He says, but the long-term is about the International Monetary Fund. It's about the IMF going in and really having control of these countries. And he says, you could read people like James Burnham about the managerial class. You could read about, because he says Harvard Business School and the CIA are going to use that strategy of Burnham's managerial class to run other countries, you see. So it's a corporate structure of governance that's installed in the other countries. Ultimately says, there's a whole chapter on chapter 12 about how Nasser ultimately aided the big oil corporations in Egypt. And that was really what a lot of these operations are about. It's not about terror. It's not about Islam. It's not about ideologies. It's largely about markets. And then he says that, but we also have a long-term game plan that goes beyond merely making market profits. He says there's a long-term game plan that includes the establishment of universities and the establishment of Western media in these countries and trying to create markets so that people can have a better standard of living. He says, but we don't care about them getting more money and having a better, more comfy life. He says the purpose of a higher standard of living is because every country that gets first world higher standards of living, their population drastically drops. And he says that's the ultimate goal here. He says we are mainly concerned with overpopulation in these countries. Now, again, note that that whole strategy has also been then turned on the entire West to basically decimate the population of the Caucasian peoples and their ethnicities in the West. And that was all by design, because that's what Kalergi said 100 years ago would be the plan ultimately. So yes, depopulation is about the world, and it's about a broader strategy of getting the world population down. But part of that, it also includes first targeting the people who would morally oppose that, and that's Christian peoples in general, and a large portion of those people are Americans. They're some of the Europeans still. They're Orthodox Christians, etc. And thus, the ethnicities that predominate, like white people, etc., those types of religions have to be first drastically brought down so that there is far less resistance to a global order. Why would that be the case? Well, again, Christianity is a major firewall to this approach. And so you have to damage and destroy Christianity in general. That's one of the reasons why so many of the churches are basically just NGOs and gay NGOs. That's what most churches are, just soft power, gay butt buddy NGOs. That's why they fly the gay flag, the trans flag, et cetera. They have trans bishops. Those are really just control bought off things. Universities are the same thing, right? They're really there to brainwash the so-called intelligentsia. In fact, he began the book by even saying that they're not given real history anyway. They're given a fake version of propaganda history. And he says in the appendix, he says that there's a whole series of books that people can read to understand what the CIA's long-term game plan is. And he says it's really just depopulation. It's the teachings of the Bertrand Russell on the technocracy and having a technocratic state. He says you need to read, I'll show you some of the books he says to read. He says read the Council on Foreign Relations reports. He says they talk about overpopulation and how we need to be dealing with this in every theater of conflict in every place on the globe. He says that you need to read about coups and revolutions and Rand Corporation reports. He says everything that we're doing, the CIA, when we go into these countries is just following Rand Corporation reports about how to go about updating and changing the leadership of these countries. He says there's a whole reading list that I would recommend. He says read Bertrand Russell. He says to read, you can read books about cults and mind control, which is interesting. I wouldn't have expected him to recommend that, but he actually says books like The True Believer. And this is, he says, a British television series that dealt with David Frost and the character of Sirhan Sirhan. He says you can read about that in regard to how we utilize Arab people groups and people like Sirhan Sirhan and how we mind control and mess with those people, he says. On a major scale, he's not talking about whether Sirhan Sirhan was MKUltra. I mean, he could have been, but he says you need to read Herman Kahn, the famous neocon from the Rand Corporation. And he says the plans that we have for the world and for Egypt and these countries in the Middle East by the year 2000. So you know, understand, in 1969, he said the Rand Corporation had already strategized long-term game plans for countries like Egypt and how to get them to the phases that he talked about, these 5 years. Strategies, 15, 20, 50 year strategies. He says also anatomy of revolutions, how the OSS runs the coups and the regime change operations. He says that's a very important book to read. He says the book The Ugly American is a great book to read. He says James Burnham's Managerial Class is a very important book to read to understand the operations and the regime change coups. And he says that ultimately, again, it's about depopulation and bringing the world into a technocracy. He says, if you read the Rand Corporation's texts that deal with technocracy and ecology, he says, this is very important because this ideology will dominate the future. We will bring the world into a technocracy at some point and in some way. And again, in order to do that, it requires the degrading and the devolution and the erasing of the native people groups. Because as long as you have people who are Irish, have a conception of being Irish, they're not going to be globalist. They're not going to be lobo, homo, blob. Thus, you have to get rid of ethnicity.
Your arm been hacked off by a homeless person with a samurai sword? Try Shilajit gummies today.
A guy in Venice Beach just got his arm nearly hacked off by some tweaker with a samurai sword. And as of 4:15, he is still on the loose. And seemingly, the reaction from our local government is basically like, oh, shit, like, these things just happen. Like, this is our new normal. That, dude. I want to live in an LA that is safe to go out, where I don't have to worry about walking around and getting my arm hacked off by some tweaker looking for drugs.
Sorry, I ate a Shilajit gummy. Sorry, I thought I could finish it before that clip was over. You caught me. Shilajit gummies, folks. We're not joking. They're very good. Shilajit gummies. Are you a leftist idiot that thinks it's normal that men get their arms chopped off with swords when trying to go to the beach in California? Shilajit gummies are for you. Consumers of Shilajit gummies, they know places to avoid. If you want to avoid having your arm nearly cut off by a sword in Venice Beach, California, you need to be taking Shilajit gummies today. I do love these things. They are really delicious, but they really do give you a kick. And you only get to take one. This is the worst part of Shilajit gummies, is you want to take multiple, but you're only supposed to take one. You can take more if you want. Also, I love the Modern World Survival Stack. A massive discount if you get three products together. It's the Shilajit capsules, the Atomic Defense, and the Sea Moss capsules, which are packed with vitamins, minerals to support overall wellness, thyroid health, and immune function. The Atomic Defense is for daily defense and cellular support, while Shilajit capsules support natural energy, stamina, and daily vitality. Get one or all of them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Share the links at alexjoneslive.com and on Rumble at thealexjonesshowlive.com. Shilajit gummies.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.